recorded live.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to our Monday night program. Gerard, you're unmuted, so if for some reason you're not hearing me, you can let me know you're not hearing me. Are you hearing me well right now, Gerard?
Yes, I can. I can.
Okay. You just keep your mic muted on Skype so that nothing feeds back on your end. But if there's a problem, you can alert me. All right, let's cover a few things. We obviously are having problems everywhere we go trying to get a program that works, that has some reasonably good features, and allows us to have control over troublemakers, which we always notice from time to time seem to find their way to us. We've been pretty good. Of course, on webinar, we didn't have that kind of a problem. We did have that problem on Pal Talk, and we have it here because it's an open line. People can come in from other places. And we welcome that. That's why we'd love to be in places like this, so other people can discover what it is that we're discussing and getting involved with you. What I did find is I found a place called Blog Talk. A couple of individuals told me about that, and I did finally check it out. They gave me a call today, and I discussed the different items they've got, and I think we're going to go in on that. Anything decent on that has to pay for. We're interested in the Premium Pro, which gives us a couple of special things. One of the key things, as everybody knows, we're starting to build the website. We haven't actually started constructing it yet, but I have been working on preparing all the content for that website, and I'm done with all of that. Got it all broken up into folders, ready to, bring up online and then design the pages. It'll probably take me a couple of days of work to do that, but I'm ready to go with that. We're looking for someone to do the work for us. It's going to cost us, about $7,000, a little over $6,000, well, close to $7,000 actually, just to get the website constructed. And it's going to be a very sophisticated website. We'll get into more details maybe a little later, but one of the main features that I wanted to talk about is that we're going to have a 24/7 live text chat room. It'll be open all the time. And so people will be able to go in there and chat. Now, the chat room, when people come, if they do not register, they'll be able to go through maybe, 75% of our website they'll be able to look at and read things. And they'll be able to come into the chat room. But they won't be able to post any comments. I think every page will have the ability. Maybe there'll be a few pages we won't, but just about every page we will be set up for comments where people can drop comments and thoughts and ideas. But people who are visiting that are not a member, by registering, they won't be able to comment. They'll just be able to read. Same thing in the chat room particularly, and that's what I want to focus in on, that chat room. With Blog Talk, they have a stream, they provide a stream. So we can we get a code, and we can put that live stream right on our page in the text chat room. So people will be able to come in right onto our website, go to the chat room, chat with other people, and when the program starts, they will hear the program right in the chat room. A phone number will be advertised in the chat room, and from time to time we'll probably mention it over the air. People will be able to phone in and stay on the phone as long as they want. They ask questions and so on and so forth. Or make comments or whatever it is they want to say. I think there might be another feature that might be able to connect us from the chat room, but I'm not sure on that. It's not clear. So I'm not going to talk about that, and if it comes about, there's going to be a little extra feature on that. So that'll be interesting. This will give us control over the system. Now, all of the state leaders, the state coordinators, they will be admins, and they'll have admin control in text chats. So if there is a troublemaker or a problem, those administrators will be able to deal with that person. if someone puts on inappropriate information or, you know, makes inappropriate comment, of course, we'll know who they are because they have to be registered with us to get that, to be able to do those things. And we can talk to those people to stop. Maybe we'll give them one warning, and that'll be it. After that, we'll kind of put some kind of a red dot on them. They can stay as a member, registered, and so on. But we will disengage their ability to post on the website. You know, I'm sure on request, they're going to be good. We'll reset them back up in again. But we'll have to figure that out. But anyway, this will be pretty good for us to be able to control troublemakers, which we really, I don't think we're going to have that many on the website because troublemakers usually aren't going to take the time to register. But if they do, we'll identify them. And if they're just that obnoxious and we can't trust them no more because they promise that they're not going to do it no more, we'll just leave them red dotted forever, you know, whatever. So we'll figure that out as we go. But I think that's going to be a good program. Now, Blog Talk Radio, I talked with these people today. They spent quite a bit of time with me, and they asked a lot of questions. They gave me a lot of information. They have about 33. They're worldwide. They have about 33 million members, and we'll be coming in on the high premium side. So they will be advertising our radio program. Again, it's called Blog Talk Radio. So they will be advertising us to other people. Now, I know there's some big names or very popular people having programming on Blog Talk Radio. I know we came in with a guy named Drake one time and on one evening, and that evening he must have had a pretty large listening group. People were very happy to hear us and our message. And so we got like about 120 members that day from that one radio call. That actually signed up and registered on our site. We peaked an additional up 2,000 hits on that particular day on our website. And so it was a really good shot in the arm for our movement. Picked up a lot of new membership. Now, I've talked to a few people that came in from Drake, and they said that these people are really hungry to hear the message we have. And they even suggested that we go on Blog Talk Radio, that we could probably build a good, solid base there also. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to take the opportunity of also building a good blog base there. A good base off of the Blog Talk Radio there. In that Blog Talk Radio, they do have a text chat area that's connected to the room, which we'll talk about that when we get there. And if people want to go over into that one also and do both, that's fine, or one or the other. But, of course, they should kind of stay on our website. But what we will do, I know there was a couple of features I saw that they have. One of the features is we can set up an automatic message so that when anybody comes into the room, they get a message from us, and we can tell them whatever we want to tell them about who we are and what we're doing or whatever. So we can give them a message telling them that that people are on a are using the text chat area on our website at this location. We'll give them a link, and they can click in and link in over there, and they'll be able to listen in over there, and they can participate in the other room also. So that could be a good feature, and it could be helpful to get a lot of new people. Now, we've been, a couple of people have made commitments to give us some money, a decent amount of money, very generous monies, sums. But we haven't gotten it yet. We've got two sources, and we haven't gotten any money yet, but we did get the promise, and we're kind of waiting on that. When we get that money, we'll be pushing full speed ahead on the website, and, of course, as soon as we just get a little bit of money, we'll immediately open up Blog Talk Radio. I did sign up for a freebie one, but that really doesn't unable to really give us what we need at this point. I got to at least pay for the smaller amount, but we'll see. I think maybe by Monday. I'll try to get us on by Monday, but if not, the following Monday we'll be on. So anyway, that's pretty much that for where we're going with that. For those who don't know, we're using meetup.com on the top of our website. I believe it's on the left side. Let me see. On the right side, top right side, it says Join Our National Meetup. So we're using that as a calendar. We're also using that to get emails out to people on things that we're doing. We'll continue to use that until we get going on the on a new website. Our new website will give us the ability to do some emailing. I'm not sure exactly how much. I do know that we can set it up where the administrators, each state leader, will be able to send out mass emails to people within the state. And if I'll see if we can not get maybe at least maybe we can sign up everybody that's on a county level to be able to send out emails to everybody within a state or within a county. I'm not sure how sophisticated we're going to be able to get with that, but we'll see how it goes. I don't know whether we can have email chatting, which I don't think we really want anyway, because I think after a bit of time, we're just going to get way too many emails going and people are going to complain. But what we are setting up is we're setting up one page or you know, an area, actually, but we're going to set up a bulletin board, I think you'd call it, a message board. Okay, we're going to set up a message board for each state, and you'll be able to go in there and put and have conversations on these message boards. And we, I believe, we'll be able to set it up that if you wanted to follow a particular, discussion, you can click on notify me, and then you'll get an email whenever anybody puts a new, adds something new to that discussion, and you can follow the discussion. And that gives people control of what they want to, you know, what discussions they want to follow and how many emails they might want to get, and it doesn't open everyone up to just every discussion on the board. Obviously, people in Jersey may be discussing things in Jersey and the people in California have their own things going on, so we don't need to hear from everybody, and we'll not be able to dig through all these things. So the national board will give us access to be able to each other, to be able to discuss, directly concerning national things, and you can get some things going. There are a few other things. It could become pretty unique. I'm looking at another program that we might be able to attach to our website where we can actually, and this is already existing, I believe, we will be able to kind of put these onto our website, which will be rooms that people, when they want to use them, they'll be able to come on and make use of that room. But we'll have to set up a schedule. If someone wanted, let's say a particular county wanted to have a private meeting, and they would go on to the board. We'd have a schedule board there, and we'd be able to schedule. We're going to meet Thursday from 7 to 9. And then once that's booked, obviously you can't book another meeting at that time, but there'll be three rooms, so you'll be able to get, at least three meetings at those same time periods, whatever it may be. What that will allow, of course, is we'll have the availability to have a room to have private conversations within our counties. We'll probably be able to do the same thing on a state level. If some state coordinator wanted to try to get a meeting with all the state county organizers and anybody else who wants to join, then, they can schedule a room and use that room for that purpose. It'll be a private meeting place. So I'm pretty sure that that's possible. I'm not sure the cost factors on that yet. It may be a little while before we get that part of it going, but we do expect to get that going, and it'll probably get a little richy on that, but definitely something we need. One of the things we're going to do is, we need to get funds. Obviously, all this stuff costs money. I mean, the website's going to cost us probably a couple of thousand in the beginning, and maybe $1,000 or $800 a month in the very beginning, but it's going to advance very quickly. I've been invited on a national radio show to talk, and I have not gone on it yet. For the simple reason is if I go on it, our site's going to crash, and we will not be able to get up until people stop clicking on it. It'll be just too many people trying to get online to come to the site, and that'll hurt everybody, obviously, the people that are using that site for educating themselves and learning and so on and communicating. But also, we can't... go go on to these shows until we're ready to be able to deal with the people who will come to us. Now, we did find a new place, but again, you know, it's going to start off at $400-500 in the first month. It's going to be $1,000 a month, and in no time, it's going to be $3,000-4,000 a month to handle what's going on. This particular site has high security, so it's got a good security program to protect our site. They have over 30 servers, so we'll be working with 30 servers that'll keep us up and going. One site goes down, you know, the other server picks us up, and that's how those things work. If there's a lot of activity in one place, another server will pick us up to deal with another area. And however they work the logistics on that, I don't know, but there's at least 30 servers involved with that program. And it's a pay-as-you-go type thing. We only get billed for what we actually do use. And we'll be using a lot of broadband. We'll be very video-heavy, but we're going to stick with YouTube to support our video. But we will also be very audio-heavy. And so we'll have a lot of audio streaming through our system and, of course, a lot of pages. Right now, you know, we're getting 60,000 page views, I believe, a month at this point. So we're getting a lot of page views every month. We've got a lot of visitors. It's consistent, and we're constantly growing. We're not going down at all. We're constantly growing, you know, up and up, little by little. So our growth is strong and steady. It's not too fast, and we're able to deal with our growth at this point. Well, I did upgrade the site we're on now, which is not really a professional site, and it doesn't cost very much. It's very cheap. But we're getting to that tipping point without even going national. We're coming to that tipping point where we're going to run into some problems. So we're waiting on some funds. Like I said, a couple of people promised to give us some money. We'll see where that goes as time goes on. Hopefully that's going to happen very soon so we can get moving on things. We're going to ask, and we're not going to require, because we don't want to charge people to come in and become a member, because actually the membership is really coming into register. And if someone really can't afford to give us some dollars, we don't want to prevent them from coming into register, so we want everyone to come in and register. But what we're going to suggest is that if everybody really, you know, give us $5 a month. You can go out on our website, click on the, our donation button. You go to a page and you can choose $5 a month. And if everyone gave us $5 a month, we'd have plenty of money because, you know, we would grow exponentially as we need to spend more money because we're getting more hits and more broadband and things are getting more and more expensive. Well, that's because more people are coming on, and if those people are throwing in $5, we'll be able to support ourselves, and we'll be able to continue. So let us ask that everybody consider giving us $5 a month. If you want to give us 10, 15, 10 or 20, you know, that's good too. But $5, I think everyone can afford. On the new website, what we're going to do is anybody who gives us $5 a month or more, their name will turn blue wherever they're on the site. If they're leaving a comment and their name is there, it'll be in blue. If they're on the text chat talking, their name will be in blue. And that'll identify them as a supporting member. And maybe that'll help to energize people to consider giving us, you know, $5 a month to help us go. There are some people who, you know, and that would be an automatic thing that would be done through PayPal. But those people who might, you know, I do get some checks from people from time to time, and those people, I kind of know who they are. I've kept the envelopes on most of those people, and so we know who they are, and we'll kind of make sure that their names will be, you know, checked off in blue, since they prefer doing that through the mail instead of giving money from PayPal, you know, through a credit card or something. So we'll work all that out. Let's see from there, you know, let's get talking about misinformation and different things that we've been looking at over the past months. People have brought some ideas. They've talked to us about the Board of Review. I've been involved in a lot of conversations, private conversations, with other people, concerning different things that are going on, similar to what we're doing, but not quite the same. And, you know, and I'm happy they're doing those things. I've decided, of course, not to get involved with other things because we're busy doing what we're doing. What we're doing, I believe, is absolutely the 100% the right thing. We're doing it the right way. We're bringing it up from grassroots up. We're not coming top down. A lot of these ideas, unfortunately, I believe, are really just top down stuff. And yeah, it may start off good, and people might have good intentions. I don't know. But if you have a top down structure, and then all of a sudden you get the parasites come in and they take control of that, next thing you know, we're back to where we started from. So I don't kind of trust those things. I think grassroots is the way to go. I think hard work and getting out there and building our grand juries from that perspective is historical. There's a lot of history to back us up. Also, it puts us at a seat within the courthouse wherever it is that we live. And that's the key to this whole thing. We don't really have true authority or power until we're sitting in that courthouse. And when we're sitting in that courthouse under the auspices of the court, we can be using the authority of the court, whatever we command. And I say this exactly with those words chosen. Whatever we the people command in that courthouse, we make a paper, and we'll be talking about different papers that we can file. It's coming from the king's bench. That's the grand jury. And whatever we command, that will or that wish will be what the people will respond to that's in that courthouse. In other words, we tell the judge what we want in writing through the clerk, and they're obedient to that. They don't have a choice. This is what we're taught. This is power. And this is how we get, not only the power and the authority, but we get the what's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of the word. But in other words, we get action, okay? Now, I want to talk a little bit about misinformation. There's a lot of it out there. And I want to tell you, when we're dogmatic about something, it is only because we've done the research. And if you look at our website, you'll see all our research. Everything we know is up on the website. There are some things I haven't got up there yet, and I got a lot more to put up there. It'll definitely go up on the new site. And there's some other things recently I've collected, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes, and that'll get up there too. It's very important stuff. Everything we have on our website is very important, but we do back everything we talk about on our website, and we've done research. We've researched the procedures of how the court works, and so we're going to follow those procedures. They've been going that way for 200 years. They were that way when our founding fathers set it up, and they're still that way in the judicial procedures and the processes of the court. It doesn't make any sense to change them. They're great, and they're required. There's a penalty. It's actually a criminal act for them not to do their duty. And so we're going to utilize that power. So anyway, some people would like me to kind of join forces with them in another group doing another thing, and I certainly don't want to confuse people, nor do I want to get involved with anything that I haven't researched. But I did look into some of these things, and I just don't see the authority the history behind some of these things. I've been asked, and certainly I don't have the authority or the power to try to convince anybody that has joined in with what we're doing to get involved in something else either. So I'm just not going to get involved in those things. This is what we're doing right here. One of the things that was brought up to us is to get involved with a thing called the Board of Review. And I don't know how many people they have. I think the number 50 rings a bell. But even if they have 100, that's nationwide. And there are some of these groups that are looking international. And I'm not concerned with international. I'm concerned with America. And the influence of America will influence the international at a later date. But right now, this is where our focus should be. And so this Board of Review, I know there's a national movement on the Board of Review, and I can't find agreement with it. I've done some research on the Board of Review. I've looked up the term within the law dictionaries, the legal dictionaries, Beauvoir's. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. How do you pronounce that, Gerard? Beauvoir? Anyway, Beauvoir's legal dictionary, that term did not come up. I looked in Black's Dictionary and in the second edition, and again, that term did not come up. I did look in the fourth edition of Black's Dictionary, and it did come up there. So I found the term there. In every case, I think there was seven court cases. I'm looking for notes I had. I can't find it, so I'll talk out of memory. And I think, believe there was about seven court cases. And of the seven court cases, which was between, I think, 1916 and 1961, somewhere in that neighborhood, okay, court cases that had come up in the fourth edition surfaced for the first time, and I think the first court case was back in '40s, somewhere in the 40s, and it came up with a term called the Board of Review. And the Board of Review seems to find its history in administrative systems. It's a court process. It's a legal process that that agencies might use. And let me give you an example. As a matter of fact, of the seven cases, I think four or five of them were with the Department of Labor. I wish I could find my notes. I could be more specific. But anyway, four or five of them were with the Department of Labor. And what it was is that they had a problem with a an employer, and they made a decision, well, this is what it's going to be, and they got an argument from the employer that they were trying to, you know, make them do something or whatever the case may be. And they so what they did is, because there was a dispute, they created a board of review, and it's an administrative process created by an agency. And that board of review studied it, the situation, and came out with the decision. And we know what kind of decision they come out with, because the agency put them together. So they're going to support the agency, of course, not the employer. And so, in any event, the Board of Review came together for that purpose, and they made a decision, and that became sort of the rules or the regulations or the statutes or the laws or whatever you want to call it. That's what it became. And so really, Board of Reviews were created to deal with problems where they had deficiencies from the legislators, where they just didn't think of something, that something came up and they didn't have a rule to go by, which is a very important point to remember, by the way, is the fact that these people always act by a rule. They never act without some kind of a rule, a statute, a policy, a procedure, or something. And I realized this recently, and it just dawned on me, all my experience with these people, they always become perplexed and silent, and they haven't got a clue on what to do when you bring them to a place and they don't have a rule to respond to you by. I also remember being in court, and I didn't pick up on this, and this was a couple of years back, where the judge said to us that, you know, we had filed a paper, and the judge was wanted to give the other side more time, another 30 days to respond. They did not respond. They responded with a motion to dismiss, and I forget what the motion to dismiss was about, but they waited till the last minute, and a court case, you know, and a date was set for the hearing, and they went past their 30 days. They didn't respond, and then after, you know, they lost the motion, and I believe the only reason why they lost that motion is because we filled the courthouse up, literally. Every seat in that courthouse was filled up, and it intimidated the judge, I believe, because clearly everything else he did after was horrible. But in any event, the motion didn't go through, and then I objected to the idea that they failed to answer. And the judge says, no, they got more time. So he gave them another 30 days to respond. Well, maybe it was 20, but I think it was 30. No, I think it was 20. Gave him 20 days to respond. And I said to him, well, look, you know, they didn't respond. Fine, let them respond, but let's give them 5 or 10 days. You know, 20 days, this thing is just dragging on forever. We want to get to the case. And the judge said to me, well, I can't find any statute that will permit me to do that. And obviously, I didn't know any statute either way, one way or the other on this, at least nothing that I can respond to him at the time. Later on, I did find something, but I didn't have it in the courtroom at the time. So they got their 20 days. And that, I think back at that, and I realized these guys are acting by rules. I had another situation where I was in a court, and I was arguing with the judge, and the judge denied the best friend. I wanted to act on behalf to represent my wife. And I made the point that the fact that whatever happens to her happens to me. We're one flesh. And that I had a right to represent her, representing her as representing myself too. And that that there was Supreme Court rulings permitting for the best friend that this was a right, an unalienable right to be a rep to represent someone else or yourself in court. And I also made the point that there was no such thing as a license to practice law. That didn't exist. And there's no one in there that has a license to practice law. The state doesn't give licenses to practice law. Well, the judge didn't go along with any of that, and he ruled that I didn't have the right or the authority to represent my wife. And I argued the point with him in the court, and I said to him, well, okay, judge, what you're saying is you're going to overrule the United States Supreme Court. And he said, no, I'm not overruling the United States Supreme Court, but I am making a decision in this case that you don't have the right or the authority to represent your wife. And I said, I understand what you're saying. That means you are overruling the United States Supreme Court and violating my unalienable right to practice law, you know, to not practice law, but to defend ourselves. And this went back and forth a number of times till I saw I was probably going to get hit with contempt, so I stopped. That case was thrown out because of that, and I do intend, it wasn't too long ago, by the way, and I do intend on suing him for the monies that I had lost in that case because my wife was unable to defend herself, and she was ill, and he told me to hire a lawyer, and we know how that goes. First of all, you know, I'm sure he's not going to pay for the lawyer for us, but anyway. So all of these things, this is how they live. They live off of rules. So now you have this border review, and they come up and create the rules that don't exist. And at some point, of course, the legislators will fill in that gap and create the rules and make it what they call law, which is only statutes, and it's totally irrelevant to those who don't consent. So anyway, bottom line on this border review, I just don't see any history in it. I don't see any anything in our past. It doesn't come up anywhere in common law. And I know the Board of Review is also, some of these people, they claim that this identifies with Article or Paragraph 61 of the Magna Carta, which is exactly what we're responding off. That's exactly the information that creates the grand jury, 61 of Magna Carta, Paragraph 61. The big problem with the Board of Review is they don't get to sit in the court. They don't act under the auspices of the court. They have no opportunity to take a seat within the federal courts within their districts. They lack the appearance of authority by being able to sit in a courthouse. Whereas what we're doing is that's the whole battle right now, is to get that seat in the courthouse. And once you win that battle, the war is over. That's it. The war is over. That's it. We're in. Now, another thing, we started to look into this. We were going to use the provost marshal. A lot of people are talking about the provost marshal. We looked at that. We thought about that. I did some research on the provost marshal, and I discovered that, again, same paper I had my other notes on. I can't find that, but I'll talk out of memory as best I can. The provost marshal arrives out, it came out of the first time, it came out of the Holy Roman Empire. And that was sometime, if I recall, it was popular between like somewhere around 900 AD to, I don't know, 1400 AD. And eventually the idea of the provost marshal moved into other places. And it did move into our military, and it is a military enforcement agency that deals with even civilian situations and problems during martial law or times of war. And when I looked at this whole thing with the provost marshal, I think it's something we don't want to deal with. It's not the authority. If we're going to go after someone with authority, we have to use the sheriff. The sheriff is the only known one that I know of that's solid, and it comes right out of the Magna Carta. Sheriffs come right out of the Magna Carta. It's the king's enforcement agency. And it's going to be our enforcement agency, and we will use the sheriff, and we will use them as our enforcement simply by, as we're sitting in the courthouse, We file a paper with whatever summons or order we want. We give it to the chief clerk for filing and process, because that's what their job is, to file and process. It goes into that process system. The judge gets it on his desk, maybe the same day or the next day. I guess we can put the word stat on it if we thought that was necessary, but he gets it the next day or so, and it goes into his desk, and he gets it, and his arm is forced to sign it. He doesn't have any opportunity to debate it, deny it, argue it. It's his duty to do the will of the King's Bench, which is the grand jury. So the grand jury, the King's Bench, makes an order, files it through the appropriate channel, into the file, into the clerk who puts it into the file, that channels down to the judge who signs it, who puts it back into the clerk's file, who then hands it off to the sheriff, who then goes out and does whatever it is we just told them to do. Make an arrest. We can arrest for contempt, and they can be held in jail until we call them. And then finally, when we call them, we would release them. We also have the authority and the ability to fine. So those are two powers that the grand jury has once they're sitting in the King's Bench, which is in the courthouse. We also, you know, we did a study on the King's Bench, and if you want to go up to our website, the nationallibertyalliance.org, and take a look out there on the, what page is this? This would be the jurist documents and services, okay? And the name of this paper, we talked about this last week, is Extraordinary Remedies. And it's all about the King's Bench. It's about, I think, 6 pages. And it's a study on the power of the grand jury through the King's Bench, that the King's Bench is the grand jury. It is the tribunal. If there is no King's Bench in the court, this is critical to understand. If there is no King's Bench in the court, it is not a common law court and has no authority over you. None. Zero. Zip. What makes the Supreme Court is the King's Bench. And we found this out in our study, and it's in our study. If you go read it, you'll see that the King's Bench is the Supreme Court, period. No King's Bench, no Supreme Court, in common law, that is. So when you go into a town court, a city court, a county court, even the Supreme Court, if there's no King's Bench in there, which means a tribunal, then it has no authority, no power over you whatsoever. None. Zero. That includes family court, it includes probate court. And maybe we'll talk about those things in the near future, because a lot of people have problems in those areas, and I think we can help them now with some of these ideas. So anyway, the King's Bench is extremely important, that's what makes it a court of record. Real quick, I just want to read something and then we'll open the mics up. If I can get this paper. Yeah, I got it. This is someone sent me this, and I don't recall who sent this to me, but I'm thankful, and if they're here, thank you for sending it to me. It's a Journal of Criminal Law and Criminology. It's labeled Grand Jury Under Attack, and it's 3 parts. I was sent part 1 and part 3. I do not have part 2. Yeah, I got 1 and I got 3, but I don't have 2. And it was written in 1955, and it gives a history of the movement by the experts to get rid of the grand juries, because public prosecutors were more efficient than the grand juries. Isn't that something? And you know who the experts were? The public prosecutors, the attorneys, the judges, all of the experts. They're experts in crime is what they are. But in any event, they have decided that they're much more efficient. They can get these cases a lot quicker without having to deal with this grand jury here. You know, they're just too slow, whatever. But anyway, I started reading this. I haven't read all the way through. I'll be posting. I'll try to post this tonight. If not, I'll try to get it up tomorrow. But it'll get up on our site shortly. I'll put it up on our webpage under Juris Documents. And it looks like a good read. Like I said, I haven't been through it all yet, but I'll tell you, it looks like a good read. I'm looking for part 2, and if anybody knows where part 2 can be gotten, I'd appreciate it. To get it to me. I see Terry's writing. I don't know if he's talking about what I'm talking about, but get in touch with me if anybody knows what part two of this, and I'll get it up there. But let me, I highlighted a couple areas. I'd like to just read some of this real quick if I could. Before I do that, one other thing I want to mention is that we have another a new page up on our website. It should have been up a long time ago. I just haven't been able to get up there, but recently I started working on this, and I'll be working on this every day and to get more and more onto this particular page. It may be one of the most important pages in order to help people figure out what we're doing and so on. But it's called Questions and Answers. And it's on the left side. You click on Questions and Answers. And for instance, these are excerpts of conversations I've had with people that I've recorded. And some of them may be only 5 minutes long. Some of them might be 30 minutes long. But it's focused on a topic. A conversation on corporatism, a short conversation on constituting a jury, how to constitute a jury. We have also video and other information on that on our website, of course. I think everyone here should know about that. If you don't, you can ask your county organizers. If they don't know, you can talk with the state coordinator, and they'll help you out with that. But anyway, in paneling and compensating juries. How the state chair is selected, how corporatism can be defeated, where to constitute a grand jury, common grand juries versus corporate grand juries. So see, these are some of the kind of questions and answers we put up. It's all in audio, and again, I'll be putting up as many as I can, as often as I can, and as we get new questions and answers, we'll just put them up here. So I think that's an important page. Also, just going back to Juris Document and Services, take a look at some of the services we're offering here, and I think they're pretty good. Bear in mind that every time you spend a few dollars by getting these services through the website, they donate. You know, we get a little piece of the action, so it helps to fund, again, our website. So if you want to do a business card, we have two business cards we designed, one for National Liberty Alliance and another one as an administrator for a grand jury. So we kind of designed it, and you'd fill in a form that would put the information concerning, you know, your name, your address, your fax, your county, your state, and so on. And so these cards are available at a very good price. The price that we're offering for include there's no taxes. But it includes also the delivery, so it's a one lump sum price, and I think it's a good deal. I think it beats out the prices of Staples, or probably gets at least equal to them. We also, it's a follow me phone service and fax service we offer. It's a service that I've been using for over 15 years. It's excellent, great price. It follows you. It's very sophisticated. It's got a good board on it, and you can, you know, to have different messages going out at different times of the day or on a weekend or a holiday, or when you're away from your desk, you can receive a call or deny a call, and it deals with that call. It's a very nice system set up, and it's very affordable, and it's perfect for what we're doing, because if you have four administrators, one person may not want to handle the phones all the time, and obviously when one person retires, they're going to have to hand the phones over to someone else. And obviously, we're not going to be sitting in a particular office. We'll be working mostly out of our own homes, so or on the road, or in the courthouse, or wherever. So all these phones can follow you on your cell phones, or wherever you want to send them to. And we can pass them from one administrator to another. We can set it up in a switchboard, and the first week of the month, this one gets it, and the second week of the month, it goes to that one, and so on and so forth. So it's a very sophisticated program. It's good. The Juris Handbooks, you know, we've got a couple of people we've been talking to. I haven't had time to get back to it. I've just been so busy. But I got someone also that's an investor that might be able to help us with this. Also, I've talked with some people who do the printing for the 10th Amendment, and they get some very good prices from there. And then there was another publisher I've been talking to. So, you know, I talked with a lot of other publishers. They were way too much. You know, they wanted $1.50, $2 per handbook. And I know the constitutional handbooks, they're selling for 35 cents a piece, I think it is now. I mean, the big reason they sell it so cheap is because they told me they print out a half a million at a time. Well, they actually print out a million at a time. But I think if we can get a half a million printed out, we can get them real cheap. We might be able to get an investor involved in this. And they can make some good money in the long run, you know, just by putting a couple of pennies in it for the investor as a return. Because these are books we'll be buying all day long. And the state will pay for them, and we'll be ordering them by the thousands. Right now, if we can get them cheap enough, you know, we can all order maybe 100 apiece for 35, 40, 45 bucks, and we can start using them. But as soon as we start to get our budgets into the controller of the state or the county, we'll start to get some funding from the state to pay for these things and any other expenses we have, along with the necessary salaries for the administrators. I'm going to write a paper on administrators and exactly so everybody understands what the job of the administrator is and the authority and what exactly they'd be doing. I had a conversation with someone recently, and I think it was recorded, and I think it would be a good conversation. If I can find it, we'll get it up. So if I don't have, if I could get it on a conversation and put it on, and it's on an audio, we'll put it up. But I'll probably write a paper too anyway. So everybody's clear with what their responsibilities will be and what's involved and so on. Also, we'll try to get a paper to be more specific on what the job of the state coordinator is, and also what the job of a county organizer is. And county organizers don't have to necessarily become the administrators. Of course, they can if they want, but that's a decision, you know, people make. And every county, as I mentioned, needs to get at least four administrators. You will find that sometimes you'll need that fifth wheel. You might need a fifth or a sixth administrator. Generally, I think most counties will suffice with four. Obviously, if you're down in New York City or some other city, Chicago or whatever, Los Angeles, you're going to need a lot more than four. You'll have to figure out how many that's going to be. You start off at four. You'll eventually get to six, eight, ten. I don't know. You'll figure that out. Let me just quickly, I may read just a couple of things here that I read in this paper. I found it so fascinating. And again, the name of this is Grand Jury Under Attack. This is out of Part 3. It's written by a guy named Richard Younger, 1955. And it's a definite read for anybody that's involved with the grand jury to get a really good understanding of the assault and how the assault went on. And in this paper is proof that the grand jury, even in the 40s and the 50s, still existed. As little as, you know, they were really hiding them, and, you know, we've been made so ignorant. You know, Americans think they're so bright because they tell us we're bright. We're very smart. We're so much more advanced than people before us. And I want to tell you, we're a bunch of morons. We're dumber than a box of rocks, and I speak to myself first. Until you start to educate yourself, you don't really realize how much you don't know. You know, I notice most people don't do well in mathematics. Why not? We should all be doing great in mathematics. But we pass out that 1895 test, and look what they were teaching back in 1895. Mathematics far greater than what we learned up to high school. And, you know, I also see people don't like to read. They've trained us to tweet. My God, we don't read books no more. Our penmanship is horrible. I mean, some of us are good at that, some of these things, but most of us are not so much. And a lot of people have problems with English and spelling. I'm one of those people, especially with the spelling. And that's because our schools failed us. They were not busy teaching us the things we needed to know. They were busy teaching us on how to be really good slaves and be totally obedient. We follow all these rules and regulations. You know, I made a phone call to the hospital today and to the doctors to get some information because my wife was having some stomach problems, and they were all afraid to talk to me. They didn't want to give me any thoughts. I've done this a million times in the past. They didn't want to give me any thoughts, any ideas. You have to bring her in. You know, she can't. You don't have to make a decision. I'm just asking certain questions. Just give me the answers, and I'm going to figure it out myself. But they're afraid of being sued. They got to go talk to their lawyers, okay? Even when you go to a doctor for the first time, they make you fill this paper out, which I never sign. I always have to end up talking to their legal department, and they'll get them on the phone, and I'll talk with them, and they'll give it back, and then they'll let me in and say, let the guy go. You don't have to fill out the paper. You know, but people fill out these papers at the doctors, and which gives the authority of the government to come in and look at everything in your papers. But no one else can look. I mean, I don't know how many times I've been to my wife's doctors, and they give me a hard time to get the information or pick up her medications or something, and it's just crazy. So we're governed by ultimately the minions of the New World Order, which are lawyers. They control our political realms. They control our judicial realms. They control our medical needs. They even control our spiritual needs. Okay, they control everything. They're into everything. As soon as you talk to a bureaucrat, next thing you know, you're talking to their lawyer. What the hell am I doing talking to their lawyer? These people have a duty to do something. I show them the law, and they have to go to the lawyer, and the lawyer makes it so foggy. Well, they don't have to, you know, and they just ignore it, and you don't get nothing done. So we're here to fix that problem, of course. All right, I'm not going to read anything. I'm going to open up the lines because I want to see what others have to say, thoughts and comments. So I'm going to unmute everybody, and if everybody can please mute your phones. It's *6, I believe. Mute your phones, and when you want to talk, you then hit *6 again. It'll unmute you, and then you can talk. So let me unmute first. Well, I did click. Okay. All right. Everybody is unmuted. So anybody who's not going to talk, please mute your phone. Yeah.
Yeah. There's get rid of this guy here that's in the text chat. Ken Wickman. Ken Wickman.
Ken Wickman. I'm looking for him.
What's he doing?
KENNEWIKMAN. Probably the same guy back at it in a different name.
What's he doing, Gerard?
He's putting pornography in the.
Oh man, jeepers.
Yeah. Well, you always have children, you know.
I know.
And I see he's got his mic open now. You want to talk to us, Ken?
I doubt it.
Yeah, he's a child is what he is. We're talking serious business concerning the nation. He's probably 12 years old or something, you know?
Right.
But anyway, he can't talk either. But, okay, let's move on. When we get into this other place we're going to, we're not going to have this problem.
Right.
So hopefully, you know, I don't think we're going to get there by next Monday, but I think we will by the Monday before. But if there's any way to get there by this next Monday, if that could be accomplished, we will accomplish it. Okay, who wants to pick up the mic? Anybody got anything here? Wants to talk? Question, comment, so on?
This is Wayne from Maine.
How you doing, Wayne?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, but I can't see the box whether you're on the TalkShoe site. I can hear and I can speak, but I don't see the list of names and the stuff that I used to see on the screen anywhere. What am I doing
wrong? Did you sign in through the browser?
I signed in by calling in on the phone.
Okay, then you got to also go in on the browser on this program. So you have to open the browser up, come in there, and also on the phone.
What's the browser? I'm on the internet. I'm on the internet. National Liberty Alliance.
Yeah, if you go on to the left side of National Liberty Alliance, and you'll come down just a little bit right below the donation button there, you'll see a blue box that says TalkShoe, and you'll see National Liberty Alliance inside that blue box. If you click on our name in that blue box, it'll open up another tab and bring you into the room. It'll ask for your username and your PIN number, but if you don't know it, you can come in as a guest, and you'll be able to get into the text area also. But if you
well,
know
I've tried that, and I don't see it.
Well, try
I've
it
tried
again.
It, and I don't see it.
Yeah, that's the best way I can. I don't know. Anybody else can try to explain it better?
Says call in now. Join. Call in now.
Well, you should be able to join too through your browser.
I've already. Well, I know I've joined. I'm on the call.
You have to join both ways.
You still have to go down to TalkShoe, and when it brings up a box, you have to sign in.
Well, I did sign in once.
Right, but you've got to sign in every time.
Is it saying that you signed in? Does your screen say you signed in? Does it show you it's signed in?
No.
Okay, that's what it's got to say. It says up in the right-hand corner, welcome, and then whatever your username is.
Well, the National Liberty Alliance live now. Is that where I click?
Yeah, you click on that, but there's also a little screen down right below the little man running, and it says Talk Shoe.
It says unlimited food during hard times, all it says.
See if I go out of this, then I'll be off.
Shows a little man walking.
Oh, okay, wait a minute.
Right above him, the blue box.
I'm trying to pull this up.
There's a blue box right above the little man walking.
It's a light blue box, and it says Talk Shoe.
Okay, I'm
click
doing that.
Click on National Liberty Alliance on the top of that box. Click on that name. You'll come into the room.
It says loading.
Okay, that's it. It'll open up. It'll ask for your username and PIN unless it recognizes you. And if you don't remember it, just come in under others, as a visitor.
No, I got
to
talk
to you. Anybody else have a comment or a statement or something?
Goodness.
Yeah, Ken Wickman is trying his best to get back in, but I know. He probably knows the system. So he can unmute himself and be the child that he is. But okay, anybody else have anything?
This is Gary Dunlap. Can everyone hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Gary.
Okay, yes. Basically, it's my first time on this call. I was elected the county coordinator for Allegheny County, Pennsylvania. That's greater Pittsburgh area. And pleased to be here. And we're moving things into high gear here in the county with, we meet each week, and we're studying a DVD right now called What Happened to the Constitution. And one of my goals is to have everybody take maybe about a 15-minute segment from the DVD each week. We'll watch it and then have everybody actually look up the sources that are cited in there so that people will be thoroughly grounded in this whole operation. Because I don't believe that just watching a DVD is sufficient in itself. I think it's important that, when a presenter cites court cases, cites statutes or what have you, we all have a responsibility to look those up ourselves so that we actually are seeing with our own eyes what's being shown us. So I'm just excited to be on board with this.
All right, great. Yeah, if people want to take it upon themselves to bone up on what we're doing here and then go out and start doing presentations and stuff, that'd be great, and speaking to people. But do make sure that you really bone up on what we're doing. On the new website we've got coming up, we're going to make it a lot easier. There's going to be a tab up on the top that'll probably be on the top right side. At least that's where I designed it to go, but it may go someplace else. We'll figure it out. But on these tabs, on this one particular tab, it'll be called Jurist. And when you click on Jurist, now that tab will not show up to anyone who does not belong. That hasn't registered. It'll only show up for people who have registered. And so when you come on and you sign on into the page, that tab will appear. And everything in that tab are the things that people should know. If you really want to know everything, I think there's 12 or 14 items under that tab. And you can, some of these items might take you, 40, 50, 60 hours to get through. So you don't have to do it all at one time. You might come up one day and do an hour on this and come to another tab and do an hour on that. But we cover history. We cover constitutional courses. We cover common law. We cover court access. We cover all of the important things to know. We also have the orientation page, which is about 3 hours of video, okay? And so people should go at least through that. But the people who want to become administrators, they really need to go through all this stuff under the Jurist tab. And again, that'll be up soon, as soon as we get the website up. And that'll keep us going. Now, also an important thing is, of course, reading other places on our site, because we'll have about, I think, 10 categories up there or something, 8 to 10 categories. And we'll have the judicial process, we'll have the political process, and we'll also have an educational area other than what we're doing with the jurists. We will, so there'll be a lot of other stuff going on. The jurist page, as far as the documents and service page, is important also. And you'll find that probably in two areas. It'll probably be, we'll probably put it under the jurist also, but it'll also be in another place. But some of these pages are private. I'm going to say probably 25% of the website will be private. You won't be able to see certain things in there unless you've registered. And you certainly won't be able to comment on the website unless you've registered. And you certainly can't participate. You can watch and read, but you can't participate in the national chat room unless you registered. So it's going to be a really good you can't leave comments. It's going to be a really good interactive site. And like I said, 25% of it will be private. And we're going to take the names of state leaders and the names of county leaders at this point. We're going to leave them in the private area. So unless people join up, they're not going to see those names. Unless we discuss it and decide that maybe leave it on the outside. I think it's wise to leave it on the inside. People need to be able to find other leaders and state coordinators once they've joined. They don't need to find them before that. We have a Monday night conference call. They can come here. My number's all over the place. They can call me up if they want to ask a few extra questions before they decide whether they want to be a jurist. But I think most people, once they look at our site, they see the things we're doing, what we have on there, they watch our video on the front page, I think they become very excited and realize that this is the answer. So, anyway, mic's open. Yeah, Jesse from PA, you should have been able to unmute yourself, but you are muted if you wanted to talk. I saw a one next to you.
Hi, John. Yeah, I just had a question that was presented to me from one of the counties, and I didn't know how to answer it, and I said I'd ask on the call-in. And it was like the question was is how, like, someone who would want to bring a complaint or, a concern, how do they file the complaint or concern for the grand juries to investigate? You know, how would they go through the process?
Well, that's a good question.
Notify.
That's a good question. Right now, you can't speak to a grand jury. And, a lot of people that have a lot of major problems, serious, serious criminal actions going against them in ways that are just you can't even imagine. And yet when they call people up, like the prosecutor who's responsible for bringing the grand jury together, it's the puppet grand jury, of course, they reject them. They will not allow them people to talk to the grand jury. And so there's no access to the grand jury at this point. First of all, there's no valid grand juries that exist. There might be a few out there that are trying to exist. I'm not aware of any grand juries that are acting under the auspices of the court. So actually, there's no grand jury out there with authority yet. But we're going to be the first. This is where we're focused. This is where the battle is with getting into the courts. But once we're up there, we are going to establish National Liberty Alliance will be there in order to talk with people, teach people. People will learn the process, bring people together in both the political and the judicial realms. So we're going to be dealing with the committeemen. We have a lot of experience with the committeemen. And we're going to be teaching people court access. We're looking eventually to write a textbook for schools on judicial process, political process, and what the duties of people, free people are, what they should be doing. In other words, it's voluntary, though. They don't have to do it. But it's selfish if people don't step up and give a little bit of their time and their life into the system to keep this nation going and keep it straight and actually be the deciders for what goes on. But what we were going to do, we're going to create a directory on our website, and anybody will be able to come on to the site and click on the directory, they'll click on their state, they'll click on their county, and they will be given a contact number of the grand jury in their county. And they'll be able to make a phone call between their business hours. You know, we'll post the business hours, which we'll probably just post generically for everybody, 9 to 4 or something.
Hey, John.
And you might want to be there from 8 to 5, but whatever. But we'll put 9 to 4. And people will be able to make direct contact to the grand jury. We'll also start an advertisement campaign once we're established throughout the country to really get down into the grassroots. We'll work with the committeemen, the free committeemen, the elected committeemen, the people who are doing exactly what we're doing, that don't want the politics. They're just into bringing in a government that's obedient to the people, and that's their only concern, to be constitutional. There's no behavioral we don't have to worry about politics if we're not concerned about trying to control the behavior of the other side through legislation, because we're doing away with that. That's the politics. So once we are at that level, we will get to the people, and people will be taking their schools back, and we'll be teaching the children in the school access and their need to volunteer to certain things and so on, and the necessity for them to learn how to defend themselves in a court. Any eighth grader should be able to come right out of school, walk into any courtroom, and create a defense and an argument in any courtroom. They should be able to do that. We all should be able to do that. Shame on us that we run away from that. They've trained us, they brainwashed us to run, and they don't permit us. But shame on us that we haven't done something to do that, to take care of that. So it's all about what Jefferson said. You know, if people expect to be ignorant and free, forget about it. Anybody who's not talking, please mute your mic by hitting, star 6? Anybody else wanted to talk? Jesse, you should be able to hit star 6 and open up your mic. I see you got your hand up.
Back there, I just got to remember to hit star 6. Just one other real quick thing that I wanted to let you know is that we have 3 counties now in Pennsylvania that have had...
All right, hold on a minute. We got this background noise. Please, whoever is not talking... Hit star 6 to go off?
Yes, star 6.
All right, Ron from Arizona, hit star 6. Guest 32, hit star 6, please. Nikki, star 6. Northeast New York, Montana, guest 14, star 6. Okay, anybody who's talking that wants to talk, they can open their mic. I think Jesse's talking right now, right?
Yeah, thank you.
Go ahead, Jesse.
I just wanted to let everyone know that in Pennsylvania we have 3 counties now that have actually successfully filed their paperwork, and two of the counties filed it.
I'm going to have to go to each person to find out who's doing it. I don't know.
You know, John, it's probably one of them Yahoos that were typing in the text chat. They're doing it purposely. So figure out.
Yeah, I don't see them in here. I don't see them in here.
They keep changing their names.
Yeah, but I know all the people that are coming in here now. Well, guess 14, I don't know. All right, if this continues, we'll just have to mute everybody, and only the people that can raise their hand will be able to raise their hand. I don't know what else to say. Again, we'll get the new system. We won't have this problem when we move. But go ahead, Jesse, finish.
Well, yeah, there was 3 counties that have successfully filed with the courthouse. So the next step for those 3 counties, which are Butler, Elk, and Westmoreland.
This is Kennewick Mann. This is Kennewick Mann.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, guest 32. Can you wait? Go ahead, Jesse. So we have 3 counties that have actually filed.
Papers
have gone through.
Been accepted into the paperwork has been accepted into the courthouse by the clerk, and Butler, Elk, and Westmoreland. Butler and Westmoreland filed with the criminal miscellaneous docket number, and
right.
For some reason, Elk County, the clerk there, who had a dual role as the pathonitary and criminal court clerk, she had the dual role.
and that means the civil and criminal, and she decided to file it under civil. And talking with Hagen, and they think that it should have been filed as the other two counties, and so I don't know exactly how we're going to be able to remedy that situation.
All right, well, what you might want to do is try to get everyone together, and if you all call me at the same time, those who are on, you know, try to work an arrangement out with me and them, and let's meet on Skype. Anybody who doesn't have Skype, they can call my Skype number, which is 845-233 number. And so they can call me there, and then we can kind of talk about this, and I'll give you some ideas and what the next step would be, and we'll see exactly where you're at and what you've done and what you haven't done yet, and let's get you into the courtroom. So give me a call. Set something up. I'm not going to be around Friday, and tomorrow is probably too quick. So, you know, you could call me over the weekend or Monday or something. You know, get everyone together, and let's talk. Okay? I hear someone that sounds like they're trying to talk. What I'm going to do is I'm muting everybody. And anybody who wants to talk, you're going to have to be on your browser, and you're going to have to, you know, click raise your hand. Jesse, go ahead.
So call you on Skype, and can I get that number again, the Skype number?
Yeah, look in the email. I don't want to say it here because we have clowns in the room, and I don't need the BS calls,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, gotcha.
So you'll see it. You'll find me. Look in the emails.
And I'll try to coordinate everybody that is involved, and then so we can do it all together at one time.
That sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah, and
let's
talk, and I'll give you some ideas and thoughts. If you want, try to get Hagen in on this, because he's got a good grip on mostly what's going on.
Yeah, he does. And, yeah, I'm glad that we have him on our side.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Guest number four, you're open on the mic here. Maybe you can give us your first name and where you're at. And
this is James from Cobb County, Georgia.
How you doing, James?
I'm doing great, doing great. Doing great now, that's for sure. The gentleman a little bit earlier that was talking about, they had started creating some, I guess, literature and also a DVD for themselves, and were putting that stuff out. I would suggest, and this is just my opinion, that we need to be uniform in what we're putting out, because it kind of seems that when people kind of go out on their own and do this, a lot of the information that may be transferred out to the public is not vetted properly.
Well, that's true. That is absolutely true, and I'm glad you brought that up, and I'd like to respond a little bit to that. And I also want to let JOSF Kelly, I think that's Joseph Kelly, I'm going to get to you next, but let me address that. What you just said is so important. We have got to do due diligence. If you think you're going to do this without educating yourself, forget about it. Now, everyone does not have to become educated in the process and the procedures. They have the opportunity to do so. They should take that opportunity. They should know it, whether they're going to use it or not, because this is our heritage, is understanding the judicial process, the political process, and also your spiritual needs. Those are the three things that make up a man. And so if you don't have control, if you don't have a relationship in your spiritual realm, and you don't have control of your political and judicial realm, then you're a slave. You're a slave. And first and foremost, of course, is your relationship in your spiritual realm. You need your relationship with your maker. You work that out in your prayer closet. But other than that, as far as the judicial realm and the political realm, you can learn everything you need to know we have on this website. This is the purpose for Monday Night Calls. When we go on to, I'm reorganizing all of our past calls. We have about 60 calls that we've done over the past year. And we've done a lot of stuff on the court of record. We talked about consent, jurisdiction. You know, if you go back into the older calls before we found out about the grand jury, we found out about the grand jury maybe 30 calls back, roughly speaking. I don't even know, but roughly, it's a number out of my hat. If you go back to the older calls before we got into the grand jury, we spent a lot of time talking about common law. We went into procedures and processes. We talked about consent and jurisdiction, stop the cop, and just a lot of stuff. And we're going to get into a lot more of that kind of conversations in the future. But right now, obviously, the order of business is the grand jury. And what are the procedures and processes of that? And what can you do to bone up on common law and process while you're working that out and learning with us together? We're unfolding and revealing a lot of things as we go. And what's going on in New York, there's a couple of things we wanted to do, and we just haven't been able to do it here yet. And we're shooting for Friday now, and if we get it done Friday, we're going to have some, you know, a lot of good stuff to talk about on Monday about what we've done and how we plan on making what we've done work. And it's going to be, I think, an eye-opener. You're going to see how we can get the authority and push it through. So that'll probably be Monday. I hope to be able to be talking about that on Monday. But there's a lot of misinformation. You know, if people were involved with this before and it didn't work out and they're not paying attention here and they're off on their own, and they're going to make the same mistakes over and over again, you know. We've got to follow the same procedures and processes, because all the courts in our entire nation follows the same procedures and processes as far as the judicial process is concerned, through the county or through the court clerk, which is the chief clerk. And that chief clerk, you know, understanding that process, that's the power of the grand jury. We get to execute all our power through the chief clerk. That's what you have to understand, and that's what we're trying to teach. If you try to do this another way, you're not going to have authority, you're not going to have power. If people do the wrong things and you know, create things in the wrong way, it's not going to be any good for our what we're trying to accomplish here. So we do have to be consistent, and we have to learn, and we have to check it out. We have to do our own investigate yourself. We investigated everything. All the research is up online. We've got it all on the website. Poke around the website. You'll find all kinds of stuff up there. But anyway,
our power's in our numbers. I mean, as long as we keep our numbers up, and as long as they keep growing, and we keep backing each other up, there shouldn't be a problem.
And that's correct. There's power in numbers. And, you know, we're shooting for the key number we're shooting for, which we need a lot more people to accomplish this, but is 3,141 times 4. Okay? So that's 3, 6, 9, 12, 13, 14. That's about 12,000 plus people. Okay? 4 people per county. Some counties will have more. And but to get 12,000, we probably have to get 100,000. And believe me, we are in the thousands already. We have a lot of people involved with us. It's unfortunate that maybe only about 10% of the people that's involved with us actually come to the Monday night meetings. So you see, that's one of the major jobs of the state coordinators, is that to get in touch with all of the county organizers, connect with them, make sure you're all on the same page, and that you're all working together, that you all know each other, and that you all push each other to get to these Monday night meetings. Very soon, we're going to have meetings with all the state coordinators. I'm hoping that's going to come up in the next couple of weeks, where we can come together, and everybody's invited to that meeting, but we want to get the state coordinators, okay? And we want to start discussing some strategies and some ideas, and hopefully that'll come up soon. But that's the backbone to our power here, is the state coordinator. And if the state doesn't have a state coordinator, go out to your state. Go out to nationallibertyalliance.org on the left side and click on the county organizers. And right below the states, you'll see click here to find your state organizers. And then, you know, on that page, you'll find the name and number of your state organizer. If your state does not have an organizer, then someone needs to volunteer, even if they volunteer long enough to find someone else to take their place. But someone's got to volunteer and take on this responsibility. If your state does not have an organizer, then let me call them a coordinator. I shouldn't be calling them an organizer. If your state doesn't have a state coordinator, then you're not progressing enough. There's got to be someone making sure that everyone's communicating with each other, all of the county organizers, to make sure that counties that don't have organizers, that they find some liberty groups in those counties and get them involved, get them out to the front page, look at the video, get them excited what's going on, and help them to step up and help them to create a grand jury within their county. They need to constitute one. And that's what the state organizer needs to be working on, helping people, pushing people to get counties, to get grand juries constituted in every county. Some states are doing very well at it. Some states we still don't even have a county coordinator at. And to mention a couple, Alaska, we don't have a state coordinator. We don't have one in Alaska, Delaware, Idaho, Kentucky. Kentucky we do have one. Louisiana. I knew we had one in Maine, but I don't have him listed. So I think Dave is that coordinator. He should give me a call and talk to me about that. Massachusetts, Minnesota, Mississippi, Montana, Nevada, New Hampshire, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Oregon, Rhode Island, Texas, Vermont, West Virginia, Wisconsin, and Wyoming. I think we have 29 state coordinators. Okay, that means we have 21 states without coordinators. We need those positions filled. If you live in any of those states, consider becoming the state coordinator. Just volunteer. Send me an email. Give me a call. Tell me that you want to be the state coordinator, and just give me your name, your state, and even your county, and that'll help me. And I'll get out there, and I'll look up your phone number on the registry, and I'll put your information out on this page. But we need 50 coordinators. We only have 29, I think. So let's get going on that. Those coordinators are responsible for pushing the state and making sure that they keep advancing until we can get grand juries in every single one of your counties. Remember, your state's not going to be free until you have majority of your counties, if not all of your counties, with grand juries and taking the power within those courthouses, and therefore within the political realms of your entire state, just by taking grassroots control. So you got to do it, and you got to do it now. Anything else you want to bring up? All right, let me go down to Joseph Kelly. I think that's Joseph, right? Your mic is open. I'd like to ask you, you're not in on the text chat. What did you push to have your name, a hand go up or a number go up beside your name?
That's star eight.
Star eight. Okay, I'm going to make a note of that. Star 8. So anybody who wants to talk that's on the phone, you hit star 8, and your hand will go up, okay? Go ahead. Joseph is your name, right?
Yeah, and it's a little problematic, and I hope your move fixes it. Also, Joseph C.A. San Bernardino up there. But when I called, I got a second name here.
Okay.
The one thing you need to know, I think, is, and it was in the text, you're probably not reading it, it's Richard Younger and his grand jury under attack, part one, part two, part three. Part one and part two are in part one.
Oh, okay. Well, let me take a real quick look at that. I didn't realize that. Part three is 13 pages. Hang on a minute. Let me open part one and... Okay, hold on. Move this out of my way. Okay, so you're saying in part one is part one and part two?
Yes.
Okay, all right, I'll make that note. That's 25 pages. Volume 46, issue 1, article 4. There's part one. So halfway through this at some point, I'll see part two.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, good. What I'm going to do is I'm going to combine these two PDFs and just make it part 1, 2, 3 right inside. And I'll post it up on the website. So it'll be a total of 25 plus 13. That's 45, 6, 7, 8, 48 pages. And I'll tell you what, from what I read on this already, I find it very, very exciting to see how this thing has been unfolding and the argument that had taken place. And we see who the criminals are. These criminals do not want you in their courtroom. They just don't want you there because they know the party's over if you get into that courtroom. And that's why they don't want grand juries. And the only people that don't want grand juries are the criminals, the judges, the prosecutors, and the lawyers. They definitely don't want you there because you're cramming them. They don't want you there. So, all right, anything else, Joseph?
Probably a quick report. I mean, you guys out in New York, I grew up in New Jersey. I've been living in California for quite a while. And really, really seriously bad is there's Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer, kind of like as representatives. But I met two people so far because I am the state coordinator. One is named Lisa. I won't give them their last name. And the other is Carla. And if these two were in the place of Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein, California would be way ahead of New York out there.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
one of the things that will never save this country is saving it through the political process. Not the way it's set up now, because it's set up against us. We will be able to do it as soon as we get the elected committeemen back into power. And once those elected committeemen are back in power, they're going to whip these people into control because they have the authority to recall. We the grand jury, will work very closely with those committeemen. And some of us grand juries might be committeemen. There's no conflict there. Neither of them are paid positions. They're not necessarily offices, although a committeeman is an office. But it's really an office of the people. There's no payment there. There's no benefit other than the fact that you're just doing the duty. So I don't think there's a conflict between being a committeeman and being called for a grand jurist at the same time. But in any event, they definitely can work together because the grand jurist can come together and they can remove someone from office for being for not obeying the Constitution. If they're doing things that are against the Constitution, trying to get things done that is anti-Constitution, then we have a duty to that's a wrongdoing, and we the people have a duty to correct that wrongdoing. So we'll have to tell them either they stop or we're going to bring them up for consideration of indictment. But on the other side, the elected committeemen, which I doubt there's any elected committeeman anywhere in the country. I know there aren't any. Well, there's 150 of them in New York State, but none of them have any power because they're blocked by the New York State Board of Election. They have blocked all their power. They will not allow them to take control. And we could take control if they would just obey the law. We could take control of both parties, the Republican and Democratic parties, and bring them back under the Constitution and have them working together, supporting the Constitution. But the state, the servants, our servants, two individuals particularly at the pinnacle of the commissioner, the Democrat and the Republican commissioner on the state level here in New York, refuse to obey the law and refuse to allow these people take power. When we get into office after we deal with bringing things under control in our local level, We're all paying a visit up into Albany, and these two commissioners have a lot to answer for, and they're going to answer for this, and we're going to bring back the elected committeemen. And we'll talk about that with other people in other states, and we'll show them how most probably they also do not have elected committeemen. And they are controlled by two private associations that rule under the communistic rule that's top-down. They're called the Republican and the Democratic parties. And one is controlled by the Nazis, and one is controlled by the Marxists. And that's a fact. But anyway, let me open up the mic for Daryl. Go right ahead, Daryl. Just for everyone else to know, if you want to talk and you're not in the text chat area to push the button on the top right side, you can hit *8, and a number will show up next to your name, and we'll unmute your mic so you can talk. But meanwhile, Daryl from Montana, I think, right?
Actually, it's Missouri.
Missouri. M-O is Missouri?
Yes, sir. Like Casey Moe.
Oh, M-T is Montana, right?
M-T, yes.
Yeah, okay. Missouri. Go ahead.
Got a couple items. The first one is I sent you an email. I just want to know whether you got a hold of requesting that Rick Harmon in Missouri be removed as state coordinator and my name be put in place of it because he's going to be moving out of state.
Right. Did I do that or no?
Apparently not yet. I haven't been able to see anyone except for the county coordinators listed on there. And it's my understanding that I could also see additional information.
Right. Yeah. As a state coordinator, you can request a list of all the people in the state, even, you know, the ones that have registered. There are a lot of people that have registered that don't show up on the coordinators page, you know, the organizers page. So you can get a list of all those people and their phone numbers, and, of course, we're expecting that you're going to be doing only appropriate things, giving them a call to talk with them maybe about elections coming up in their area or asking for their support by coming to these elections and things of that nature. But what I could do is I can set you up on your site. So it's Missouri, you say?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so on Missouri – right now I have Richard, and you want to put your name in there, right?
That is correct.
Okay, so your name is Darrell, D-A-R-R-E-L-L, right?
Correct. Walton,
and,
like boy.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Walton, like John Boy.
Okay, Walton, W-A-L-T-O-N.
That is correct.
Okay, and your phone number?
573-556. 8890.
What was the area code on that?
573.
Okay, I got it. All right, I changed it for you right now. I figured I'd just get it done. So it's done. It should show up shortly on the website. Anybody else that wants to be a state coordinator, you can do that now, or you can send me an email, or you can give me a call, and I need basically your name and your state, and I will find your information if you send me an email with your name and state, and I'll get that up there. All right, anything else, Darrell?
Yes, sir. I was also setting up a talk show for the state of Missouri. And I was wanting to reach everybody in Missouri and let them know what I was planning on doing and thought maybe you might be interested in is after the Monday night conference, have another day during the week where our state would get together. We would discuss items that came up on the national level and also come up with a spokesman to ask questions at the national level.
Right. Well, okay. Well, here's the thing. One of the things we want to focus in on as far as our discussion, I'm strongly suggesting this, of course, is that we focus in on organizing. We focus in on building our ranks. We focus in on elections and all the conversations necessary to do that, the knowledge necessary to do that. And that's where our big focus could be. So if you're going to be doing it for that purpose, that's great. And that's why I really strongly suggest you put your energies, because until you get, constituted in every county, you're not really going to get the power that you need. Once you're constituted, you own the state. If you constitute all your counties and you get into those courtrooms, you, the people in Missouri, you own the state. It's back to you again, and they're going to do your will. And we're going to show you a lot of things that we've accumulated on how we're going to accomplish them to do our will at every level, both in the political and judicial realms. One of the things we're working on, if you wait a little while, remember on Talk Show here, it's not private. People will be walking into the room. You'll get clowns like we had a little earlier. They're 3-year-olds, and they can't help themselves, I guess. And you're going to have some problems. It's not going to be a private conversation. Those conversations that you're talking about need to be private. On a national level, they don't have to be private. We welcome people to walk in here. But on your state level and on your county levels, that's going to need to be private because you're going to be talking business. And you don't need people who don't understand what's going on walking into your room. We're going to try to provide this for you soon. We definitely are going to provide, which will only be available to the people in your state to comment on, I think. I think we'll set it up that way, that if you go into your state, into your text there, into your bulletin board, you know, your, what would you call it? I guess you call it a bulletin board, message board. You go to your message board, only the people of your state will be able to post things on your message board. Pennsylvania, they'll be able to post on their message board. We've got to keep that isolated to the state. And the state coordinator will be in control of that message board as far as looking for things that are inappropriate. There'll be administrators on the site for that purpose. We will have a national message board, and everybody will be able to post, and all 50 administrators, one from each state, will be administrators, which are also, of course, the coordinators. There'll be administrators on the site. There'll be administrators for the national room. So we'll have 50 people watching the national board to keep it straight. We'll also have the, and I mentioned this earlier, of course, we'll have the text chat room that'll be open 24/7. People will be able to go in there and chat. Now, again, only the people that are registered will be able to go in there and chat. Obviously, anybody will be able to chat that's registered from any state. And all the administrators will have certain authorities whenever they go into that room to make sure that they can keep, you know, order from all the, some children we may get in there from time to time, and they need to be straightened out. Now, I mentioned this earlier also. We believe we're going to be able to embed 3 private rooms. We can add to that. We might have to have 10 private rooms, but we'll try to start off with 3. Well, you'll be able to come in and sign out for them, and you'll go on the schedule, and you'll be able to reserve that room for certain days at a certain time, and it'll be a private room that only whoever people you invite will be able to get into that. And you'll be able to have a conversation, private conversation, and do whatever it is you have to do. So we're working to produce these things, to put the, and this is what we're doing with this new website we're building. So I believe we have that technology to do that. I've looked into a few things, and I believe we can do that.
That sounds great. I think I will hold off on some of the things that I was planning to do on the talk show. And mainly what I was wanting to do is have a place where everyone in the state could go to at a particular time so we could stay better informed.
Well, that you should be doing on we use Skype for that. I have 6, 7, 8, 10 people sometimes on Skype, okay? We get together and we do it off the fly. I deal with people all over the country, of course, but also people in New York. And so you can utilize Skype for a lot of that now. You know, you're still building up counties, so I don't know how many counties you got organized already, but if you got 6 or 8 counties organized, then you're talking maybe 6 or 12 people that might come to that meeting. And you'll be able to do it on Skype. And, you know, I'm talking all the time on Skype. I think everyone should utilize Skype for that purpose. And so you can have kind of mini meetings. We're going to have something soon for people to use that when it gets larger than that, and you'll be able to do something private. We're working on it. But right now, you definitely will have the it'll come up pretty quick as soon as we get the site up. We will have a message board, again, only to your state, and you can set the message board up in categories. This is about this subject. And you get some conversations going, and people could be responding to that and putting themselves on the list to be notified whenever it's updated through email. It'll automatically notify you by email that someone posted something on that particular folder on that particular subject. And the only ones who will be able to post on that will be the people from your state. Now, people from other states will be able to get into that room, and they'll be able to read those postings. We'll all be able to do that to each other, but only states will be able to do their own state. But like I said, the national will be different. Everyone will be able to post on that.
Thank you. I appreciate your time, John.
All right.
I hope everybody does well.
All right, thanks. All right, anybody else, star 8 to raise your hand, and we'll unmute you. I see Jeff Gall. You're unmuted, Jeff. Go right ahead. Good to see you, Jeff.
Hi, John. You know, I just wanted to let you know, I don't know if you've been watching, but this child has been, you know, going crazy on the blogs, guest number 32. I don't know if you have the ability to remove him from blogging, but I just wanted to make sure you're aware of that.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Jeff, and he's been blocked, so he can't.
Oh, yeah.
So he can't put anything. Yeah, I just blocked him.
Oh,
so
good.
He can't do anything.
Yeah,
if you notice,
really...
there's a mark through all of his statements now.
Oh, there is? Okay.
Yeah.
No, I didn't even look. I'll look again.
You can't see out there. Okay, I guess. Well, you're in as a guest, right?
Yeah, but I'm actually monitoring as well. But, yeah.
Right.
But,
yeah,
okay,
when we move over to this new one, this won't happen.
I mean, I just don't understand what is wrong with people. But
they're
anyway,
children. They're children.
Yeah. It's just crazy. Sure. But thank you guys for everything. I mean, this is, you know, we've got to get this done.
Yep.
I thought I'd say that while I have the mic open. But
okay,
that's all I have for the moment.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's see. Guest number 4. Maybe you can give us your first name, your state,
James.
And what county you're in.
James from Georgia.
James?
Yeah. James from Georgia.
Okay.
North County.
Are you the one I spoke to earlier?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just want to tell everybody how much I appreciate seeing that there's so many people now that still value this country as much as I do, and also that are willing to take the time and have the dedication to do this, because this will eventually put us in jeopardy. It will come to that, because when the powers that be feel the pressure that we're going to start exerting on them, they will push back.
Yeah, so, but bear in mind, when we're at that point of putting the pressure, okay, we will be many. They won't be able to really, you see, I've been talking about this for a long time, and I know other people have too. Only the people can save America. I say
exactly.
It over and over again. You go to our website, the first thing you see, only the people can save America. You can't get the senators to do it. You can't get a president to do it. Even a Ron Paul, if he was elected, he couldn't do it. Kennedy couldn't do it. Okay, you can't get congressmen to do it. Only the people can save America. And that means that we, the people, have got to rise up in the grassroots in every county, in every town across America. And that is our project. That is our goal. And that is what we're doing. We're organizing people on the grassroots to step up and do whatever it is that they have to do. And we're trying to teach people that they have to do it right. They have to do it with a sense of honor. They have to do it with a sense of justice. And they have to do it with a sense of mercy. And if we fail there and not have a bent knee to God, then we're going to fail, because only by his blessings. What people have to realize, and we bring this up from time to time, is that our heritage is our unalienable rights. And unalienable rights come from common law. And common law is synonymous with natural law. That means it comes from God himself. And if we don't acknowledge God, obviously he's not going to bless us. He's the one that gives us freedom, and he's the one that takes away freedom. You know, in the Bible, it tells us that the Lord said to Pilate, for instance, when Pilate said, "Don't you understand I have the power to release you or crucify you?" And the Lord said to him, "You wouldn't have no such power unless it were given to you from above." And there were other places in the Bible where God says that he raises up a people, a government here, in order to bring judgment upon another people. Okay, so he does that. Obviously, we've been asleep. Obviously, we've lost our morals. Obviously, we haven't been doing the right thing. And we, the people in America, are under judgment. Clearly, we're on the edge of destruction. And now we have an opportunity to step up in honor, justice, and mercy with the bent knee of God and go out and do the right thing and bring justice into our courts. And it very well may be that God may bless that, and America could be great again. So it's up to the people. They got to do it. Only the people can do it.
Exactly. Yeah, we weren't vigilant. And
we were warned. We deserve everything we got. Now maybe we can get mercy if we step up and just do justice. That's it. Bring justice into the courtroom. Justice is synonymous with virtue. Read in the founding documents what it is that is your heritage. Your heritage is your unalienable rights. And people don't know what their unalienable rights are. If they did, they wouldn't put up with all these statutes. They wouldn't put up with everything these courts are doing. They just wouldn't put up with it. And we're standing up, and we're not putting up with it. And when we have the numbers and we accomplish the goal of our numbers, it's going to be 50% of the country. When we get to that point, the people will own this country again.
Yep, I agree. Like I said, I just wanted to express my appreciation, especially with you, for the time and the effort that you put into it, and the other people that helped started this. This is awesome.
Well, we appreciate it, and obviously we couldn't do it without you and everyone else. So it's all of us. It's what we as a people do together. It's what we do. We just have to do the just thing. That's all we have to do. We do the just thing. I promise you God will bless us for that just thing. It's that simple. It doesn't get any more difficult than that.
One more small thing. As far as the trolls that keep coming up on this, if everyone just would just ignore them, I know that sometimes it's kind of hard to, but when we acknowledge them, that's what they're wanting.
Yeah, that gets them going.
Ignore them, let them do whatever they want to do, if we're really focusing on what's being said anyway, that should be where our focus is anyway. So,
well, you're absolutely right. What was your first name again?
James.
James. Yeah. Okay, yeah, that you're absolutely right on point. Yeah, if we ignore them, they will just go away because they're in here to get the reaction.
Yeah.
But when they are seen, if someone lets me know, I'll just put a little dot on them now that we know that we can block their writing, and that'll frustrate them to leave. So, okay, let me go to the next person I see down here, DIY guy. First name and what state you're from. Is that DIY or DT? No, DIY. Guy, G-U-Y. You're unmuted. You hear us? Okay, maybe he's away. Raise your hand, I guess, if you want to talk. Guest number 45. I'm unmuting you now. Give us your first name and what state are you from?
Hey, how you doing? I'm from Wisconsin.
How you doing? Dave from Wisconsin?
No. I'm actually a first-time caller. This is my first name is Tim.
How you doing, Tim? Good to meet you.
Doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. So, it is my first time listening. I was really enjoying the show, and I guess I just had like a housekeeping question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, have any of you guys ever had sex with a woman in a fursuit? Because I just think that's really fucking hot.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. So I mean.
Okay. Anybody else want to pick up the mic? Now that we're identifying all the children in the room. All right. Anyway, while I'm waiting, maybe we'll go back and look at that paper that we spoke about earlier. I'd like to read a few things that I thought was pretty interesting in this paper. So, again, if anybody has a question or a comment, raise your hand. So DTY guy again. Go right ahead. We tried to get you before. You must have walked away from your mic. Go ahead. Give us your first name and your state, guy. Is that DIY maybe? DIY guy. All right. All right, if anybody wants to talk, just hit up star 8 and your hand will go up and we'll respond to you. But anyway, looking at this paper here, Grand Jury Under Attack, Part 3, a couple of things really interesting, this argument that's taken place concerning getting rid of the grand juries. And we read here, it says in 1928, the Social Science Research Council commissioned Professor Morley, to make a survey to obtain accurate information on the relative efficiency of grand juries and public prosecutors. He and his staff compared criminal justice in three states in which procedure was on information. So this is interesting. This is on information, okay? This is with the grand jury acting on its own, with three others in which an indictment was required. Dean Wayne L. Morse of the University of Oregon conducted a poll of judicial opinion. Early in 1931, Morley and Morris released a summary of their findings. They concluded that the evidence showed public prosecutors to be more efficient economically and expeditious than panels of citizen accusers. Isn't that interesting that they should get such a an idea coming out? As if justice relies on that anyway. Morley contended that most grand juries were content to rubber stamp the opinions of the district attorney and thus served to relieve prosecutors of their rightful responsibilities. The Morley survey focused public attention upon the weakness of the grand jury system, but in so doing, it took into an account only the tangible factors in criminal proceedings, speed, economy of operations, and percentage of convictions. Supporters of the jury system refused to agree that efficiency alone was an adequate criterion for justice under a democratic government. For criminal justice, by the way, they called it a democratic government. We do have a democratic system in our government, but we are ruled by under Republican. We're a Republican government. But anyway, for criminal justice deals with people, and the number and speed of convictions does not necessarily indicate a superior system. Proponents of the grand jury rushed to answer Professor Morley, John D. Lindsay, a former New York district attorney, which I know John Lindsay later became the mayor of New York, I think in the 60s, reminded the experts of what they seem to have forgotten, that the grand jury is the public, and they have a right to investigate any evil condition of a criminal nature. United States District Attorney George Z. Medley warned that the grand jury breathes the spirit of the community, as no prosecutor can ever do. Others charged Morley with bias in interpreting his statistics and drew vastly different conclusions from the survey data. These people are evil, trying to destroy the people from taking their power. They maintained that grand juries were far from being rubber-stamped and caused little delay in criminal trials. Shortly after Professor Morley made his findings public, the commission headed by George W. Wickersham submitted its recommendations on law enforcement to President Hoover. They advised abolishing the grand juries on the grounds that they serve no useful purpose and impede criminal courts. So you serve no useful purpose and you will only impede the courts. You're going to impede all their criminal activities. They're not going to be able to make all that money anymore if you go up there. So you serve no they serve no useful purpose. And you're going to impede their criminal activities, criminal courts. Thinking only in terms of efficiency, the commission viewed the grand jury as a mitigating device, an opportunity for escape for criminals. What a bunch of snakes these people are. This is a very, very interesting paper. I want to tell you, we get this posted. I'm going to pull these two papers together and make them 1, 2, and 3, pull them together. We'll put it up in one file, and it'll have the name Grand Jury Under Attack. And it'll be found on our documents page, nationallibertyalliance.org, on our documents page. And it's a good read, let me tell you. And I haven't even read the whole thing yet. Takeig, T-A-K-E-I-G. You got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hello. How are you?
Good. What's your first name in the state?
My name is George, and I'm calling from California.
How you doing, George?
Pretty good. Do you recognize my voice?
No.
Oh, well, that's too bad. Well, I'm George Takei. Hello.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Fuck you.
I had a feeling that was coming up, but I wanted to give you the opportunity to degrade yourself. So, anyway, anybody else out there got anything? If not, it's 11 o'clock. Maybe we'll close down. DIY guy, I see you raised your hand again. We'll try you again. You're unmuted. Go right ahead. Speak right up.
Is that
DIY
me?
Guy. That's you. What's your name?
I'm Wayne from Maine. I don't know how I got the DIY guy.
Well, that's how you're coming in.
I don't know what it is. I've dialed in off my computer, and when I go to the website and try to get signed in again, like you said, I get two sounds and feedback. I can't do it. I can't see the box that you're talking about where the names
are. If you come in on the computer and you come in on the phone, you have to really come in with a PIN number, which is usually your phone number. It's 10-digit phone number. And if you do that on both, you'll connect together, so your phone will shut the voice off on the computer. But if you don't come in connected, then the computer will continue talking, and you'll hear us on the phone, too, and you'll be confused.
I am confused, all right, because I've tried it every which way but loose.
We're not going to use this program much longer. We're going to come in next week. We may have to do it, but after next Monday, hopefully we'll be out of here and we'll be on a new program.
David Robinson is supposed to be our state coordinator. I've met with him several times. I don't know. He's
right
just
up in Maine, right?
Yes.
Okay, I'll put his name. I know Dave. And
Cumberland County.
Yeah, I'll get Dave up there. So I'll put him up in Maine.
I'm trying to organize. I've recruited several people in Kennebec County already and got the petition or the affidavit signed and given them to Dave.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I might offer to do the Kennebec County coordinating thing, but I really got a full plate. I'm proceeding with a remonstrance against the state government, the governor,
right,
and all kinds of stuff here in Maine. And I'm 75 years old, too. So.
Right. Yeah, I'm
anyway,
familiar with the work you guys are doing up there, and
I don't know why my name.
Know.
I'm supposed to come up as Wayne Kennebec, Maine and Kennebec. I don't know what that DY guy is. I don't understand that.
Yeah, somehow you're coming in his number. Huh. Whatever number you put in or whatever I don't know. The computer may be recognizing your number as someone who signed in under that number. What are you coming in through Skype?
No. I don't even use Skype on my computer.
A regular telephone?
I dial in off of Gmail on my computer.
Okay, yeah, that also, you don't really have a recognizable number on Gmail. So someone may have come in off of that, and that number showed up, and now you've come in. I don't know. So
okay. Well,
it's coincidental.
I'll be glad when they get the new site. All right,
yeah,
I'm going to say goodnight.
Get that as soon as possible. All right. And make sure you guys up there, I know you guys were putting together a unified grand jury. Make sure you have to have your grand juries in your counties. You have to have the grassroots, and you have to be sitting in the courtrooms in order to have authority and power on the top end, because it's the bottom end that gives the authority to the top end. Without the bottom end, you don't have grassroots.
If you guys need to talk
to me about it, give me a call on Skype, and we'll talk.
I've also read that thing by Richard Younger. I've got that bookmarked, and I've read through the whole thing. Very
Richard
interesting.
Who?
Younger, that thing you were reading from?
Oh,
part
okay.
One, two,
yeah.
And three?
Okay.
Grand jury
yeah,
under
that,
attack?
That's fascinating, is it?
It sure is. All right, good night, John.
It gives us some good insight. Okay, good night, thanks. Yeah, it gives us some really good insight on that. So, okay, let's see. We got Green Floyd. Go right ahead. Give us your first name and your state, Green.
Hi, this is actually Stephanie from Butler, PA.
How you doing, Stephanie?
I am good. How are you doing? I'm using
good.
My husband's login so I can... every time I try to call in on my phone, it wouldn't let me log in, so I had to use his information. We went to the clerk today and filed our paperwork under miscellaneous docket. And
right. Now, that's filing it with the county clerk, and that's a notice to all men, but go ahead.
As far as I'm, I know about the miscellaneous docket is that when you go in and you file under that, it's not considered a court case. It's not considered anything dealing with the court. It's just something that they can keep on file, and they give
absolutely. You're absolutely right. When you file it under the miscellaneous, it has nothing to do with the court. It's just the public notice is all it is. And we're not concerned with the court with that document there. That document is filed for the sole purpose as a notice to all men. Now, another paper is filed that's filed with the court that should go to the court, court chief clerk of the court. So whoever that person is, that could also be the, I doubt very much it's the county clerk. That doesn't make sense, and I'll tell you why. Because the chief clerk is the personal clerk to the elected judge. And obviously they should be in the courthouse attending the court business, and they wouldn't have the time to attend to the county business. So it should be two positions. And so that's the other person you need to file it with. How I found mine here in New York, and everybody in New York has found theirs, is we put on Dutchess County Clerk or Greene County Clerk or Monroe County Clerk, whatever county you're in here in New York anyway, you do yours. You put that into the Google search, and you will find the courthouse will have a website. And in that website, you'll have the names of all of the elected judges. And if there's appointed judges, they'll be there. It'll give you the county judges. It'll give you the Supreme Court judges. Or in your case, I think they call them Court of Commons. They'll give you the probate judges often, and maybe the family court judges. You'll have all those judges. And in there also you will find the chief clerk. The chief clerk works for those judges. That individual is sometimes a lawyer. Okay, they definitely have a legal background. They're at minimum a paralegal. And so they're a paralegal or a lawyer. And they're dealing with the court business. They don't have the time to deal with the county. And I know a lot of people in Pennsylvania tells me that the county is dealing with that. Well, it is true that the county clerk receives the court papers. But we're not interested in – this is not a court paper. We're taking this right to the courthouse, right to the chief clerk, and we're saying to the chief clerk, file this for memorial. We also tell everybody, don't hand deliver it. You must send it in by certified mail. It'd be a number, and you should get a return slip, a green card return slip, and that proves you got it to the chief clerk. And it also puts a file on demand. They know enough not to send this back. We have not had them come back in New York. Now, one county did, but that was a big mistake, I'm sure. They realize it now. None of the other clerks sent them back. They all have kept them. Because they know they face 3 years in jail if they send them through the mail back to us. And if they send it through the mail back to us, they face 23 years in jail. Now, of course, that's the maximum. But that's what they can get. So someone needs to investigate that in Pennsylvania and discover, you know, how to find the chief court clerk. Believe me, there is one. So it's two filings, one with the county clerk, one with the chief court clerk.
All the criminal filings. That's the office that we use. But we also have a director of administration and chief clerk. It's like that is what I'm thinking that you're saying is the chief.
Yeah, but it's got to be the chief court clerk. That's the key. Court. If you put in your county searching for your court, you will discover all the elected judges, and on the same page, you will find the chief court clerk.
I'll do a little more research on that. Now,
yeah, and give me a call when you get that done, and we'll talk a little more. You got my number, or have others call me, and let's talk some more on that. So, because I know Pennsylvania has been having a problem with that for a long time, unable to find the person that we're talking about.
Yeah, that. Hard just trying to figure out where to file the paperwork.
Right. bear in mind, I think you're getting confused with the duties between the two clerks. And it is true here in New York also, when we go to file a court case, we go see the county clerk and we file it with the county clerk. But it's court business. They send it over to the court and it goes into the files of the court. It's not county business that they just file it away. No, this is filed for action, and it goes over to the courthouse, which in my case is right next door. They deliver those papers twice a day to the court. If I want to move a case through and make sure that certain things happen, I'll go get it stamped with the court clerk, with the county clerk, get everything filed, get a file stamp on it, and then I'll tell them I'll carry it over to the judge myself. And I'll take it, and I'll go out the door and into the door next door, right into the courthouse, right up to the court, and bring it right to the chief clerk himself. And I'll discuss whatever business I have to discuss with him. And he will make sure that he'll get back to me in the next 24 hours with the judge's name to be applied on that case, if that's what we're there for, to move it quickly into the judge. When a clerk gets it, everything is categorized. It might go over to the mortgage area. It might go into the filings for miscellaneous. And there's all kinds of different filings, has different categories it's filed. But the court stuff goes to the court. So that's why you may be getting confused.
Okay. There's also a court administration. And I believe that's who you're talking about now, because I'm on the website under our county, and it says court administration. And then it also has a list of all the judges at the bottom of the page. So I'm pretty sure.
Right. If you call up the court administrations and you ask them, can you give me the name and the number of the chief court clerk? And if they don't know what you're talking about, say the clerk that works right there alongside with the judge, that clerk. That's the clerk you're looking for. He handles all the business of the judges. Okay, he handles the cases. He makes sure this case goes to this judge and that case goes to that judge. He deals with all. He may even interpret some of this stuff and deliver it to the judge and say, hey, this is about this, that, or the other thing. It just sign here and we'll take care of that and we'll do this. And you know, they do a lot of the judge's work too. That's the person we're talking about. Now, if you ask the administrator, they'll tell you each courthouse has an administrator. And they're tied into the main administration. In our case, the main administration is down in New York City. And that's where all the records are kept for all the administration of the courts. But there are administrators, I guess, in every courthouse there's an administrator. And they answer to the unified administration of the entire court, wherever the central place is in Pennsylvania.
A letter together to send to the, I think we're going to send to Pete.
Send what?
He's the one that you need to talk, we need to talk to now in the next step of getting into the courthouse and getting a grand jury.
Yeah, give me a call, get some people together, give me a call, let's get a conference call. I could take a lot of calls at one time, so people can call my 233 number, and I can pull 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people in, you know, take them in, and we can conference. And if you have Skype, you can Skype me, and we'll get into the same call. But, you know, somewhere along your travels, if you look around, you'll find someone among you that has experience in filing court cases, pro se. And that's the person you want to talk to, because they will educate you. Anybody who's filing court cases pro se without a lawyer, they know how the system is set up, and they can educate you on the hierarchy of the courts and how it's set up and the entire court structure. They should be able to lead you to pages on the internet and to give you to see the court structures. So those are the people you need to look for. I'm sure you'll find some amongst you. We got a lot of, as we've been going through the process, we've come in contact a lot of people who are fighting their own cases and been doing so for a while. They understand the court structure here in New York. You know, I myself am one of them, because I've been in the courts and I had to understand the court structure in order to make file my cases.
We have a few good people, so. And I'm learning as we go. So I'm willing to do the footwork, but I'm learning in the process. So.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. But
we're all learning, and we all have to start somewhere. And as long as we keep learning every day, eventually we'll be boning up pretty strong, and we'll understand the whole system eventually. So.
All right, well, thank you.
All right, thank you, and let's try to talk soon. All right, let me go to some other people. We got three other people with their hands up. Let's see. Jesse's number one again. Go right ahead, Jesse. You're unmuted.
Hi, John. Yeah, that was Stephanie from Butler County, Pennsylvania. And, I just wanted to chime in on the structure as I understand it, okay? And I have, represented myself pro se, but I was dealing with just civil matters, okay? And the pathonitary, that's what they call the clerk for civil matters. And I would know that when I would have my paperwork or I would want to have dealing with custody or support in front of the judge, I would take my paperwork to the pathonitary. They would time stamp it in, and I had to have a cover sheet. And the cover sheet was just saying, okay, it's going to be in front of this judge at this time, okay? And in Pennsylvania, custody cases, the judges are assigned by your last name. And once you're assigned that judge, you have that judge until the child is, not a minor any longer. So you're stuck with the same person, and they have a certain day that they have, court for being able to, do your presentation in front of them or, your motion. Now, what I understood, what we needed to do, since the Court of Common Pleas in Pennsylvania was our trial court, that we needed to file with the criminal court clerk because we didn't want to file with the civil because we're dealing with criminal issues. So that's where I understood that the criminal court clerk came in. And then this chief clerk, I am confused with who that might be.
Let me tell you, you have a lot of problems out there in Pennsylvania. We have problems here in New York, too. But I think you may have more problems than we have, because I think you're telling me that I understand that you can file one civil and you can file criminal, and they may even take the papers, in a different office. I don't know. And I doubt that that's the case, but it's how you file.
They have two different offices, both elected officials.
But they should be in the same courtroom, no?
They're in the same courthouse.
There you go. That's the key. That's the key. You see, all they're doing is they're playing a game. Let me explain something that's extremely important to understand, and we will talk about this more and more. And our court systems are not set up this way, unfortunately. This civil court that you're talking about is not a court of record. It's not a common law court. There is no king's bench in that courtroom. It's irrelevant. They have no authority or power over you. This other court is the same. Well, that's civil, so you're going in and you're making an argument, but he's an arbitrator. He's a nobody. Judges don't even get the judge in common law. And the same thing in the criminal court. If I was arrested for a crime in Pennsylvania and I went to that criminal court, I would challenge their jurisdiction, let them know they have no authority over me, because there is no king's bench in this court, and therefore you have no authority over me. This is not a court of record. It's not a common law. What makes a court a common law court is it becomes a supreme court when a court of record is open. A court of record is open when you have a grand jury or a trial jury in session. That's when you have a common law court. And everybody deserves that. The United States Constitution gives us, it is supposed to protect our unalienable right to be heard in a common law court. They have robbed us of that. When we get back in, we're going to take that over, and it's going to be, we really have to understand what we're talking about here. And so as time goes on, we have to understand this. Go read the paper up on the website I mentioned it a little earlier, and it's on the king's bench. And the king's bench is the tribunal. The tribunal is the people themselves. It's the king himself, okay? And it's the people themselves. All of the people on the tribunal are considered reflectors or judges for on behalf of the king. They are to reflect his will. And we cover this study, I believe all of it, in this study. It's on the Juris Documents and Service Pages page. It's called Extraordinary Remedies. I think it's a six-page study, and it lays it out. Read it numerous times until you really understand what it's saying. Now, it is true you want to go to the criminal side and make your paperwork because that's how they got it set up. But once we're done and we get it back, that civil and that criminal come together as one because they should be one. There's only one court in every county, and they deal with both criminal and civil problems or situations. But they're common law courts. That's the key, and that's what we have to bone up on. We have to learn more about what that is, okay? So it sounds like you got a lot more problems in the structure than we do in New York. In New York, we go to a place. I've got in my, as a matter of fact, the book I wrote on court access was written with New York in mind, and so it shows the New York's court structure in it. And you can see how the courts are created and by what authority and who's under who and where you go to appeal and what courts you appeal to and how the process works. You see, as for us, we go straight to the top. We ignore all the courts and go straight to the top, which is called the Supreme Court, which is supposed to, that's the trial court. And that is the court where you're supposed to get a common law justice. They, too, are a problem. But at least the structure is set up right here in New York.
Yeah. We have, a trial court, and then we have like four or five different appellate courts, with the top one being the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania, and then there's a Superior Court, then there's the Commonwealth Court. Why all of them are needed, I have no idea.
Well, you're right. They're not all needed.
But
There's only one Supreme Court in your state. And that Supreme Court is the court, is the King's Bench. That's when a grand jury is convened, the court is open. The Supreme Court of your state is open. If you have three or four counties convening grand juries, and you have three or four common law courts open and in session. And when the grand jury decides that they can't arbitrate the case and settle it, then they send it into the trial court, to the trial jury. And so the trial jury takes the torch, so to speak. The court does not close. It just moves from one group of sovereigns to another group of sovereigns. Obviously, the group of sovereigns that investigated are not qualified to make a judgment on it because they've already made a decision. They already believe the likelihood of the guilt of the person. Where once you get the trial going, in order to get due process, you have to start off with a clean slate. The people are going to hear all the evidence, and they're going to start off considering that the person is innocent until proven guilty. And so they start off with that state of mind. Obviously, a grand jury can't start off with that state of mind. They've already made an opinion. So they can't sit on the trial. They pass the case over to another group of people. That's the torch. That now is the king's bench. They are responsible to reflect the will of the king. The will of the king is the will of the people. The will of the people is this Constitution, the United States Constitution, that is ordained and established by we the people. So we are responsible to make sure that the Constitution is the law of the land. The Bill of Rights is part of that Constitution. We the people are to make sure that nobody's unalienable rights are violated, and we are governed by those to protect those rights that are numbered in the ten amendments to what we call the Bill of Rights, and we also have the duty to make sure that we make our decisions. Always in a state of mind with a sense of honor, a sense of justice, and a sense of mercy. And we also always keep in mind the two principles that we rule by. And that is, in order for there to be a crime, there must be an injured body. And the second principle maxim that we rule by is that for every injury, there must be a remedy. So we're looking to find a remedy for the injured party. So that is how it's supposed to work. And when they break it up the way they do and they play the games the way they do, they've just taken the whole court system away. So even in what's called a civil court, if there's no tribunal, there is no common law. I want a tribunal in my courthouse, in my courtroom. And so if I'm the plaintiff and I go in and I file an action at law against another individual, and if they're brain dead and they don't know enough to ask for a jury, well, guess what? At the end of the case, the sovereign of the court, who is the plaintiff, gets to make the decision of the case, not the judge. The person who filed the action, they rule. They're the king. Of course, if the other side understands this, they'll say, hey, wait a second, I want a jury. I don't want this guy to decide. And then you'll have 12 people sitting there to make the decision. So that's the way the court works. That's the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that, civil cases should not be decided by the judge, but unfortunately, I mean, right now that's what they're doing, I don't know, if all you have to say is, hey, look, I want to have a trial here instead of, because even when I had an ICC, an indirect criminal contempt charge, which, because the PFA starts out as a civil matter, but if you violate it, and my violation was just leaving a phone message, nothing violent. I didn't do anything violent to get the PFA, just was railroaded in that direction. But because I left a phone message to my ex-wife, that was an indirect criminal contempt, and even in that hearing, I didn't have a jury trial. It was just in front of the judge. And so that's what I'm saying is we just have to get this back in, and we have to, because they're not doing it, and nobody's holding them accountable. And right now, what I understood is that we needed to file with the criminal court clerk and the county clerk, because we have in Lancaster County, we have a board of commissioners, and there's a clerk that's ahead of that government, the Lancaster County government building where she resides. So I thought that was the other person that we needed to file to. And what I'm getting now, understanding now, is that's not the person?
Well, again, for filing, there are two places to file. One is with the chief, one is with the county clerk, whoever receives the papers, and you're filing it at miscellaneous, and it's really... It's a declaration to all men, so it's filed in miscellaneous. If you look on the top of the papers we wrote, it even says filed miscellaneous. So we're helping the people, clerks, to find out where to file this thing. And the main purpose, of course, is a memorial. Same thing with the court. Whoever is chief court clerk in the court, that's who you're supposed to file it with. And it's filed for a memorial. They've never seen a paper like this. They don't know what to do with it. It's just file it and keep it in your files. It's filed for a memorial. Every once in a while, you should look at it and consider it, because that's the will of the people. And so that's where it's got to go, and you got to figure out where that is.
The court clerk is the criminal court clerk. I mean, I remember talking with Gerard and yourself, because we were trying to look at the structures, because it was different than New York, and we thought that the court clerk was the criminal court clerk, because the Court of Common Pleas is our trial court, and
if the court clerk is the highest clerk of the court, then that's it.
Yep, that's him. And
that's
because
it.
He's an elected official, and he's dealing with all the and do you know that in Lancaster alone, Lancaster County, one county, there's 18 judges, and each one of them are elected.
Well, they're making a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. each judge, I have it all. I downloaded the page for Lancaster County, what their salaries are, and they're above $160,000.
Well, let me tell you something. Let me tell you, and that's got to end. And it's going to end when you come into power, because all there's a lot of cases going to court that don't belong in court. And let me tell you, you know, Justice Bork, I don't know if you know Judge Bork. You know, Judge Bork was a judge that was nominated by Reagan. And he was thought to be, claimed to be, one of the greatest legal minds of our time. I don't know how true that is, but that's what they said. I always thought that he was a pretty brilliant guy myself. He's up there, in my opinion, with the caliber of Scalia. And they shot him down, of course. They didn't want another Scalia up on the bench, that's for sure. But in any event, this guy made a statement, and he said 80% of the people that are in jail are there only because they opened their mouths. That means that they're there because they pleaded. Okay, you innocent or you guilty or no contest? Ah, no contest.
Right.
Ah, I'm innocent. Yeah. Well, that's it. You just gave consent and you're done.
Sure.
Okay,
yeah.
They don't belong in jail. They don't belong in the court. I'm going to go as far as saying 100% of the people that are in jail is because they opened their mouth. Even those who had a grand jury to make the decision to indict, that grand jury is not real either. That's a puppet of the state. It's a corporate. It works for a corporation. You see, what you have to understand is your state is a corporation, and that corporation has a corporate charter. That corporate charter is understood and seen in statutes. That's their policies and procedures. They call that law, and that's what they operate under. And that supersedes in the minds of those judges and all those people and everybody in that state that enforces law, as far as they're concerned, the law is statutes. They don't understand, nor do they recognize that Supreme Court rulings is the law. They don't understand, nor do they recognize that the Constitution is ultimate law of the land, and that anything that is, you know, repugnant to that Constitution is null and void. They don't see, nor do they understand that the people are the tribunal, and without the people, without the tribunal, you do not have a common law court. Without a common law court, there is no true conviction. Everything is a fraud. And so they operate that grand jury that makes that decision that is called or impaneled by a corporate state is a corporate, they work for a corporation, and they do the will of that corporation. Whatever that prosecutor says, that grand jury is going to do. And when they get into the court, whatever, and they get the trial jury, which is another corporate jury, whatever that judge says is going to be the will. That's what that trial jury is going to do. Okay, every once in a while you get a rogue and you get a runaway grand jury or a runaway trial jury. They call it runaway because they're running away from all those criminals in order to do justice. And that's why we need to get in there to bring, we're all going to be runaway because we're never going to be attached to any of those people. They're going to run away. They're going to run out of town is what they're going to do.
Well, I see it, you know that there are, you know tampering with the petite jury by giving instructions not to evaluate the law, but just to evaluate the accused, whether they broke the law or not, and the way they said they broke the law or not. And, you know, just from listening from the tapes, I understand that the petite jury needs to also look at the circumstances and also the law itself to find whether a person is truly guilty or not.
Right. So they're going to find them guilty. If they were picked up because they were found with walking around with a gun without a permit or a license, in your case, it would be concealed, I guess, in Pennsylvania. If you've got a concealed weapon and you're discovered with a concealed weapon, you'll be arrested and charged, and I guess you can face some prison time there in Pennsylvania. And so the grand jury will see the case, and obviously the guy had a gun. He'll probably admit to it. Sure, I had a gun, but I have an unalienable right. And the judge will say, wait a second here, jury, you listen very carefully. If he had a gun, you got to find him guilty. So they don't have the opportunity to do nullification to say, wait a second, that's repugnant to the Constitution, and we're not going to uphold it. You see, they don't have the backbone or the will or the understanding or to do that. They don't know to do that.
They don't
have
the knowledge.
As a box of rocks, yes.
Yeah.
And so, but we are educating ourselves. We know that, and we're going to tell the judge to go to hell. And next time you talk to us to tell us what to do, we're going to have you maybe arrested for jury tampering.
Oh, yeah. Now, I also wanted to point out that, you know, because we don't have a grand jury here, but what in Pennsylvania, the way they do their indictments, you know, is they have what's called an arraignment at these magisterial courts, which are like your town courts.
Right, they have them everywhere like that.
Okay, and so they'll have somebody who got nabbed by the police, and they'll take them there, and then they'll talk to the magistrate, and they'll say, well, we have this, this, and this, and then she'll decide or he'll decide whether there's enough to hold them over for trial. And so I don't know where that usurped the grand jury, but that's how they're doing it here. I don't know if that's how they do it in New York.
They're doing it everywhere. There's a lot of cases that go on that they don't bring in grand juries to indict. They try not to indict, and they try to just get them, the people, to come in to be arraigned. And if they plead, they got them. It's done. And they don't need the grand jury no more, you see. And if they need the grand jury, it's a puppet grand jury, they'll get an indictment anyway. So the prosecutor brings in all these cases to fulfill the will of the New World Order through the minions, which is, of course, the judges and the lawyers. They all work for the Bar Association. The Bar Association are the minions for the New World Order. They bring forth the will. They're incarcerating us through all these statutes. You can't move one way. Everybody in this room right here, every single person in this room right now can be arrested tomorrow. All they have to do is figure out what it is that you do and how you do it and keep an eye on you. You've broken some kind of a law somewhere, and they can arrest you. And a lot of these laws you could be put in jail for. And some of them you may know you break all the time. A lot of them you may not even know you break. That's how bad it is.
Here's another thing that we could add to it. Look at Germany, okay, and during World War II, you know, and we can all see from history how evil it was, but they created it, laws to create the system that made things that are reprehensible legal. So that's what's going to happen here.
Well,
they're going to pass any law, another law, you know, that are going to be unconscionable, but they're going to pass a law to do it.
Yeah, but keep in mind, I know a lot of people use that statement that it may be legal, but it's not lawful. And I used to say that too, but out of careful study and looking at things, no, nothing that is unlawful is legal. You know, if something is a statute, the Supreme Court has already ruled that if it's repugnant to the Constitution, it's as if it's never ever existed at all. It's never been law. It's never been legal. It's fraud is what it is. That's all it is. It's all outright fraud. Any statute that controls your behavior is null and void. They tell you need a driver's license. No, they can't control your behavior. You have a right to travel. You have a right to buy an automobile and get in it and drive it any way you want. No, nobody can stop you from doing that. You now have a responsibility, and your behavior is up to you to take care of it because you're king of your domain. If you put a strap a gun on your side, whether you conceal it or not, it's not anybody's business because you have the authority and the right to do that. Your behavior is your responsibility. And if you violate your behavior and enter into another man's kingdom and violate his kingdom, then you need to be punished for that by paying restitution some way. And that has to be figured out by the people, okay? And that's the way it's supposed to be. So all of these statutes are null and void. The only statutes that are laws are the statutes that govern the people that are servants. Statutes are written to govern government agencies. Statutes are written to govern, all the bureaucrats, elected individuals, appointed individuals. That's what statutes are for. It's also to govern also the commercial work, but it's not meant to restrain the commercial or to burden the commercial movement. It's made in order to move it forward, to open up an airway for it to flow through, to make things regular is what the Constitution says. And so that's the purpose of statutes. It's to benefit us, not to suppress us and to control our behavior. You're responsible for your behavior. It's up to you to control your behavior. And if we learn that from day one, and we teach that in our schools, we will have people who control themselves and will be a decent community, you know, a decent society. Won't be perfect, but we'll be decent.
Yeah, I mean, if they keep forcing us into a box, you know, the human spirit just does not want to be controlled, you know, like that. They want to be given what this country should know better than any is freedom and liberty, to be able to decide who you are. And so anyhow, that's what I had to say. I'm still confused on who the two, I mean, I have a court clerk, I'm pretty sure that has to be the criminal court clerk, and the other clerk, I still am not positive, and I understand that.
But I'm going to try to find some time to see if I could research a little bit in Pennsylvania. You know, you have to start off with your Constitution. That's the first order of business. And of course, you already got your Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Magna Carta. You got those papers. And, of course, that's where it really starts off. But then the next is your Constitution, and then your court structure, and then you figure things out. Okay.
And if I understood what the role of that other clerk is, maybe that way I would have an idea of how to research or how to look for it. What you're saying is that county clerk is the one that would be just
Every paper that comes up from the county clerk goes to the chief clerk. Goes to his basket, every single paper. It's his job to make sure that each judge gets the necessary papers that belong to that person. He administers to the judges.
Okay. Well,
so maybe it's the administrator. You know, maybe that is it.
There is a court of administration in every court of common pleas in every county.
Well, somewhere there's a chief clerk. There's someone that's the boss of all the clerks. Whoever that, but we call him the chief clerk here in New York. There's one person who is the top guy of all clerks, and everything goes through him, and his will be done through the whole process. Whoever that person is, that's the person. And he answers to all these judges, and he makes sure that all the elected judges have their paperwork, and he'll, you know, give them updates on whatever it is that he has to update. When I got an emergency and I got to have something done, I go right up to the chief clerk and talk with him, and then we make sure the paperwork's right, and then he makes sure that he applies a judge right away to make a hearing for maybe whatever it is, a motion to be done or something, you know? That's how it works. So whoever that person is, that's the guy. Could be a woman, of course, but that's the guy.
That definitely sounds like the criminal court clerk, but then who this other clerk is,
Well, make a call and find out, but that's where the paper's got to go. And so anyway, let me move to Daryl. He's been waiting for a while.
Thank you.
All right. Go ahead, Daryl.
John. Did you give an update on what's going on in New York?
I'll be giving one on Monday.
Okay. That's all I needed to know.
Okay. It's going. We got exciting things. We just haven't been able to accomplish these exciting things for numerous reasons. Just probably the best thing to say is overload. We're overloaded. So we'll get into it. We'll hopefully have a nice, good update on Monday.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Guest number four.
James from Georgia.
What is it?
James from Georgia.
Oh, okay, James. Yep.
Just want to say that the court clerk that probably will file your miscellaneous, 9 times out of 10, it is the Register of Deeds. Whoever registers
deeds, yes,
normally will file whatever miscellaneous affidavits that are put into the system.
Right, that'll go through the clerk. The court, you have the county clerk. The county clerk probably has 12 clerks or whatever. They've got a bunch of clerks where they all answer to the county clerk. When there's a problem and they're not sure what to do, they go see the county clerk that's working in that office. But they have all these underlings that are standing at these desks to receive the people and to receive the paperwork. They receive it, they put it into their baskets, it's put into categories, and it'll go over to the deeds. As you say, for instance, miscellaneous is over with the deeds, and it'll go to that basket there, and they'll take it, they'll record it in the computer, and then they'll file it into the proper place within the files. There are other categories broken up throughout the clerk's office for different things and different categories that's filed in different ways, however all that works. But then there's whatever the court business is. Now, the county clerk is responsible to maintain the archives of the court. When a new court case comes in, it's packaged up, and it may be kept down in the court for a while, but it's going to work its way up into the courts for process. It's going to get up there to the court clerk, and the court clerk's going to start to work it through the process of getting a judge assigned to it and doing all that magic, whatever that is. When the court is finished with all the paperwork and the trial is over and everything's done and the case is closed, it's sent back down to the court to the county clerk, and the county clerk puts it into the court archives, which is usually in the basement, and it's there for eternity. They put a lot of this stuff on microfiche, and of course now they do a lot of this stuff. They try to put it into digital. They're supposed to put everything into digital. Well, that unfortunately hasn't been happening. They've got monies for that, but that's misappropriation of funds. It probably goes into their CAFA funds because that's where they put everything because they want to take it themselves. But in any event, that's kind of part of the process. That's how it kind of works.
Yeah. Well, like I say, 9 times out of 10, if you walk up to one of the clerks and you tell them, I have a miscellaneous affidavit I need to file, they'll tell you where to go. So, I mean, it's just, and you know from that point where you need to go from there.
Right. Well, usually in New York, you'll go to there'll be a bunch of clerks on the desk, and you get a number, and your number comes up, you walk up, and you work out all the paperwork. They make sure everything's in order. They do the stamps, the filing, they take the fees, they put it in their basket, and you walk out, you're gone. Now,
so that's the difference here.
If you want to know, information and get into the files, then you go and you get access into the record room, which is on another floor where all these papers go for filing, the record room. And in the record room, there are different categories. One of them is what you said for the mortgages and stuff. And you'll find out where it is you got to go, and there'll be people down there to help you. Okay, yeah, that's over in these drawer areas here, through the alphabet right here. It's probably in this section right here. You can look for it. Or you can go to someone else that's sitting at a desk on a computer, and they can pull it up. Or there's computers for you to go and sit down, and you can pull it up yourself. So they have a lot of different things in there in finding papers. But it's all filed. Everything is ultimately filed eventually by the court or by the county clerk, and all those clerks that work for the county clerk.
Yeah.
All right. It looks like it's getting a little late, so I think it's time to end. Let me end the conversation, the